the Honourable Osborne, are we reflux resident minutes of the 2nd of June? Let's look at those, and then Honourable Osborne, do you want to say?
I just wish to say that, morning Chair, I was present on the 2nd of June, because it was the day that they, the lady from Business Art of Africa gave us those badges. Mm.
Thank you. Are there any
Second,
thank you very much. Can we then look at the minutes of the 9th of June? Jabu, what's happening with you and the good doctor? I mean, he's one person who's constantly in our meetings. So you can't do this to the good doctor. You can't. And I remember my colleague saying that you two have issues, so can you resolve it outside this meeting? Okay, can we look at the minutes, Jabu? You will add Honorable Swartborn's name. And here, on page 4, there is the first meeting, the plight of look at that sentence and the DAC, you have DAC in small letters there, and we want to know if it's the department or something else, or is it in small letters. Also, the minister has met twice with the board, and those are the two that I've identified. Are there any other corrections? If there are no other corrections, can I have someone propose the adoption?
Let's just look at the sentence on page 4. The second last paragraph. The CEO was not interviewed for the position of the CEO. The DAC didn't play any role in the appointment of the CEO. The executive will go back to being the head of legal division. Was it supposed to be or be? I'm not so sure. The honorable doctor would assist with English here.
Our set of minutes are always very qualitative. This one has got quite a few. It's actually not, I think the language isn't as clean as it normally is. Perhaps we just recommend they rework the minutes and deal with them. We don't spend time.
That's the proposal. Any second? Honorable Doctor? Okay, thanks.
Then we then proceed to the chair. sorry, the question of Honorable Makondo is, could it be, and could it be, but this is the question is asked.
Be or be?
Okay, can we then go to the next step, which is the minutes of the 4th of August. Are there any questions? Are there any corrections? Okay. The motion and the support. Thank you very much, Honourable Member. We will then have the other set of minutes. And I'm saying the one that you have to clean up. So it's important for you to ensure that you do that. The program, you do have the copy of the program, Honourable Members, in front of you. There is a proposed program. If there's anything that members would like to add or subtract in the proposed program, members are free to do so. We are on the 11th, that is today. We are going to consider and adopt minister standards written by the department on the status of the settlement agreement with the South African Builders Association, and then briefing by the department on the first court expenditure report. There is also, Honourable Members, a proposal from the department, because we are going to see your geography. We were supposed in our last program, the program that we had earlier, we were supposed to have the geographical name, places, whatever, councils. But because we thought that there is a lot that we're going to deal with today, especially with the first quarter expenditure report, we have decided that we must not have the council. But the department is saying that the council is ready to see us today. So we will fix them if time permits. I'm asking Honourable Members that we do fix them, because this is one of the very important structures, institutions that we have. Then on the 18th, that is next week, the good doctor and Honorable Mashang will indicate when they are not going to be present. Just indicate to us. As we go through this. Consideration of the coming, we are going to be briefed by Sarah with an age in our 18th August meeting, and we are going to have a briefing from State South Africa on the impact of creative industries and arts and culture, of arts and culture in economic growth and job creation. Because this, we believe that it's important for us to have that information. Then on the 25th of August, consideration and adoption of minutes, presentation by the Department of Arts and Culture on the library conditional grant, its impact and expenditure patterns with the provinces. Then we have also a briefing on the maintenance and infrastructure projects. If you remember, Honorable Members, we had this presentation, but as we came out of the meeting, we all felt that all is wrong in that unit. There's nothing at all that's all right, as we were listening to the department. So we will be getting that on the 25th, or the Tuesday of the 25th of August. Then on the 1st September, beginning of spring, we will be having the archival platform on the record of the state of archives in South Africa. And I think this is very important, as we may all know, Honorable Members, that very little is being said. We don't know whether a lot is being done around this. But looking at some of the information that we have, we need to put our thumb on this net of archives in South Africa. Then we have briefing from the department on the implementation of the use of official languages. Use of Official Languages Act of 2012. Then on Tuesday the 8th, we will be getting a briefing from CASFITA on their role in the Arts and Culture and Heritage Sector. 15th, we will be getting PEMSAL board on their 2015 to 2020 plan and 2015-16 annual performance plan. Yeah, the last three, the program of the National Assembly is saying during that period there will be provincial week. So we don't really know what it means and we are still trying to find out. Maybe it will be an oversight, we'll have to go over oversight or we will have joint oversight visits. We are not sure until the office of the chairperson of the house chairperson tell us exactly what that provincial, because for 2 weeks it's called provincial week, so we are not sure what it is. But those these areas, we think that these are areas that we need to look at, but if we have to go on site visits, definitely they will fall off, but we will find time because we believe that there is this link between ourselves and tourism and environmental affairs and also the music sector workshop that we said we are going to have. Honorable member, if there are any changes, welcome honorable elders. We appreciate your presence. If there are any changes or any suggestions, honorable members can, even later after the meeting, I'm sure you'll be looking at this and internalizing it so that at the end of the meeting, you can indicate the changes that you like, made, additions or subtractions. I'm giving that opportunity. Honorable Masango.
So thank you. Just to start with the matter that you raised that affects me and Dr. Kwebo, the week of the 18th of August as well as the 25th of August, actually from the 9th, from the Monday the 17th until the end of August, we will not be having for 2 weeks. But on the program, two issues that I'd like to raise. One, clarification question. On Friday the 18th, is this now an environment meeting that we are invited to? Or what is happening to us? I know for a fact that Friday is not the day on which we seek, just for clarity, so that we know where we stand. And then secondly, there are two matters that I think are crucial for us to consider. The first one is to look at the whole art issue. You know, our visit to Limpopo exposed us to something that I think is a very crucial matter, but a matter that we are not doing very well. The whole issue around the art centers in the country. And secondly, if there is one entity that I think we would need to have a joint meeting with or whatever, is the public works when it comes to some of the infrastructure. And on another matter that I'll appear on the program, I know that the chair was commenting earlier on Mr. Lamoka, who we were hoping that he was not going to be sitting this meeting today. I just hope that in our program we will find time that after what he'll be doing out today, he'll come back and share with us what he is up and what he's actually doing. I think it would be very good, and I think it will also benefit us because I look at his subject, and his subject is very relevant to this committee.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masango. I hope that Jabu has noted the area. But can you respond on the Friday? Because that's the day when tourism meets. more members. Utang calls the decision to us that because it was a joint effort from the content advisors to link the three committees as they have done research on the issue.
Good morning, members. The idea of the joint meeting is basically a proposal to the committees of environmental affairs, tourism, and this committee to look into joint issues or issues that affect the sector, because we find that, for example, in say Robben Island, there are tourism affect issues, there are environmental issues, in as much as there are asset culture issues. So because of the experiences in terms of the management of these sites, so as officials we felt that probably let's propose to members this idea of having this joint discussion, which is looking at the issues that affect the communities. There is a recent document that we've put together, so I think it's just an override on our part, so we should also circulate that and seek approval.
Can you say something briefly on the paper that you're going to do?
The paper, it is a presentation to examiners in the college. Okay, it's the seminar service at UWC's Center for Humanities Research. So it's part of the a chapter of my ongoing PhD thesis, which looks at two issues of mobilization and biographical aspects of Eric Guala between 1942 and 1960. So it's a historical document that looks into issues of mass mobilization in our country. But maybe the other aspect that would be much more important for the committee is that I don't discuss this with Mr. Bessendo. I've been selected to participate in the German International Study Tour. Something that I applied privately, it's going to take place from the 5th to the 12th of September. So it's a study tour that brings 15 participants from all over the world. You travel to Germany and look into issues of representation, identity formation, especially after the fall of the Berlin Wall. And it focuses mainly on the eastern part of Germany, where those issues really affected and the similarities between us and them. So probably this, maybe when I come back, it's something that I would really appreciate to communicate with the committee.
Thank you very much, Danko. And I think also in our program, as Honorable Mashang said earlier, as the exposure that we had in the Mpopo have also prompted us, it should prompt us to have a joint meeting with the Department of Education. Because when you went to the school, there is a lot that we discovered, especially in relation to the hoisting of the flag and the symbols and the like. So we need to look at that as well as we craft our program. So having that in mind, Honorable Manager wanted to know where these two guys are going to. They are going to renew their wedding vows.
I worried about the DAAC conference. You need to get to the air, maybe.
Okay, thank you very much. I think we can another question.
I think in view of what Dr. has said, I think it is important that we prepare ourselves for this meeting with tourism and environmental affairs. And I'm happy if they have prepared a briefing document. But I guess there is a bigger discussion that we need to have ourselves as advocates when it comes to some of these sites that are tourism sites, for instance. Because there is a dysfunction in terms of its location. These are, UNESCO, some of the international ones, the UNESCO heritage and cultural whatever they're called heritage and understanding tribes. You can see that they are actually heritage tribes, but they are in the main under environmental, Department of Environmental. They are actually more of environmental playground and obviously benefits for tourism, yet they actually are the cultural, institutional heritage sites, so to speak. I think amongst ourselves we should be clear about our position, because I think there is something that is not quite kosher in terms of the whole setup at the level of government. And I think at some point we will need to have a discussion. I don't know whether this meeting, that's a crucial meeting, whether we will be ready for it, because I would have thought before we get into this meeting we need to have a discussion, a briefing, private life of arts and culture around some issues on the site before we engage with those. They will have, for me, it will then a very fruitful meeting.
Thank you very much. And I think what needs to happen, maybe Fiona and Amitra should give us the list of this site so that we identify what role we are playing, what role the department is playing, and who are the other role players, if we can have a list that identifies them. And then maybe this meeting, the first meeting would be just laying the foundation, and then we discuss in our next meeting these issues that we will familiarize ourselves with as a committee before we take them out there to other people. Thank you very much, honorable members. Can we now call in the department?
I'm just curious, after last week's question time, anything is possible in this parliament.
Anything is possible, I'm ladies and gentlemen, we are now starting the second session of our meeting. We would like to welcome you in this very important committee meeting. This meeting is important for us as the portfolio committee because it speaks to our mandate of making you accountable. And the expectation that we have as a committee is that you are going to give us all the information that we need, even before we ask you. It's simple. You said, you gave us a plan. You said, this is what you are going to do in the first quarter, and what we want as a portfolio committee. It's so fun if you follow your plan. And we expect you to give us all the information, to be open and honest with us. And we expect your presentation to talk to your program, those things that you said you are going to do, and not leave out anything. You said you're going to do this, tell us how far you have gone. And we expect you to do that in your presentation. The presentation that we received, I don't know, we received so many presentations. They change every day. The presentation that you received is in here, I don't know whether we still use in that presentation that she sent to the to the inmates, because these presentations change every day. And I don't know why that happened. If this is the presentation, okay, is the presentation that I have, okay, whether it is the one or it's not. The committee has said several times that you need, as the department, to ensure that information that you send out is the information that is quality checked by yourself. I don't know whether you've done this here, and I'm hoping that you have. But there is information here that is talking about this should have, this would happen in sometime in July, and we are in August now. We should be getting a report that saying it happened in July or it did not happen. That's something that it would have happened, yeah. So I'm just saying that the issue of the quality of presentations and of documents is very important, and it's something that we can never take for granted, because the minute a document leaves your shores, it becomes a tax document. And the information that is there should be something that anybody can write home about. But I'm now going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do the presentation. And but please, we don't want, as the portfolio committee, to sound like a broken record, teaching. To say things over and over again, it's boring. To say one thing over and over again, it's not good. It's not good even for us, because it tells us that you are not taking us seriously. If we're going to say the same thing over and over again, it means that the department is not taking the portfolio committee seriously. We can't afford that, because we are the extension of the National Assembly, and the National Assembly is representing the people. So we can't have a department that's making the same mistake, that's telling us the same reason over and over again. It's totally, totally unacceptable. We can't accept that. The reasons that you give here on library stuff are the reasons that we've had all the time. We've had the reasons why there is under expenditure. We wonder why we come here to listen to the same reasons for 5 years. We can't do that. What's the point of us sitting here? If we're going to hear the same reasons again and again and again, we can't do that. I'm now going to give you an opportunity to give the presentation, and as you do that, give us the information as it is, and explain to us why they are under expenditure. And we don't want to hear the same reason, because if you have a problem, you sit down, you deal with it, you stay with the problem until it's resolved. In your case, the reasons that are here are the reasons that we've had all the time. Over to you, Dick.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. I will take you through the first quarter performance report and looking at the performance overview, and then drill down to branch specific performance, and then look at the explanation and its expenditure report. So when we look at the overall performance overview, we've only achieved 51%, which is the day 7 of the 73 indicators, and the day 6 were not achieved, and that's what we will be
to DL today. And then when we look at the spread of where the achievements are, when we look at the administration, we only achieved about 40%, and in institutional governance, only 33% of the first quarter indicators, and in ACPD, we achieved 67%, and only 50% in the heritage reservation and promotion. And when we also then look at the expenditure, we have under expenditure immensely on the institutional governance. So that's the critical area that we will also be going into. And when we look at the branch one of administration, in terms of the percentage of triple B procurement from the combined service providers, we've been able to meet the target above the 70% target. And when it comes then to the procurement spend allocated to black women owned, we haven't met the target of 30%. We've been only able to achieve 25.46%. And so this is an area of concern to say we need to be able, when we are now relooking at our database, to make sure that up in issue that we do have quite a number of the women-owned entities. And so it is something that is receiving attention within our supply chain management system. And then when we look at the learnership and at the internship program, we've been able to achieve the 5% where we have a target of 30, and we've been able to deploy 32 interns in terms of the 30 undergraduate internship program and 2% and 2 on the student internship program.
Oh.
And when we look at the percentage of women employed at the national level, we 51%. So we've achieved that target. And then when we look at the people with disabilities employed, the target is 2%, and we've been able to employ 2.3% of people with disabilities. So the we've been able to then at least go above the target. Now, when we look at the fully functional board target, there was 24 plus 2, and we put the Windy Bro is pending the integration with the Market Theatre, and we've engaged. And so currently the performance is that we have 22. Of the public entities that are fully constituted, and then part of does not have quorum because of two resignations of the chair and the member with the financial skills at part of. And so the process is underway to replace those members who have resigned. And of course there's much bigger problems within PARCOS as you would have discussed last week, that we are also trying to make sure that we bed down. And then with the other councils where we have the panel to shortlist National Museum, KZN Museum and Freedom Park, so that has taken place, and just to test mention why those dates are put there. When we produce these, because we produce them much earlier, and therefore we would present it to management internally just after the quarter end. And so therefore that is why we then have those particular days, because it was presented at a particular time internally. But I think in terms of quality management, now when we rather than give you the same presentation that show the, we would then update that when the portfolio committee takes place at a later date than those things indicated. So we note the concern that there has outlined earlier on. And just to give you a sense, the panel has said in terms of the appointment of these. So it's a matter of then going through the process of getting the minister to sign off on the recommendations of the councils. Now, with Windy Bro, and its integration with the market data. The process of integration in terms of the documentation that we sent through to Treasury has been sent through, and we've had an engagement with Treasury. Now the problem that we face is that the source of the there's litigation in Windy Brook, and if we are transferring and integrating market data with Windy Brook, that means that we are also bringing the assets that is subject to litigation. So what we've been trying to do is to say, can we be able to isolate this asset so that it does not also impact market data? We've had a similar problem with the asset, for example, Downtown Studios, where we've integrated the asset to the NAC. And the ANC have been getting clean audits until we've integrated this asset of Downtown Studios, and it created problems. So we wanted to avoid similar type of problems with the integration of Windy Brook to the market data, so that we can be able to maintain the clean audit status of the market data. Now, the interaction from Treasury says that we cannot actually be able to isolate the assets away. So if we have integration, you take all the assets and the liabilities along, and you cannot pick and choose which assets that you are wanting to take and cover out the liabilities. And so which means that we have a choice to say, we integrate all the assets and liabilities, but the likelihood is that it will definitely negatively, may negatively affect market data. And if we then keep the asset isolated, that means that we then need to be able to say, how do we have transfer of functions without the assets and the liabilities, and then still leave Windy Brook as is until the litigation is exhausted. So those are the kind of options that we are engaging with Treasury and also the Ministry to say which options are we going to take. And hence, that's why it's still pending, that integration, because Treasury would not be willing to just sign off the integration unless it integrated also the liabilities, which could have a negative impact on market data. And that's not what we would like to do. And then, in terms of the other indicators, the number of public platforms for social cohesion advocates, we had a target of 2, and we did meet the target by having 2 social cohesion public platforms in May and June 2015. And even below the public participation programs held, the target was 6, and we held 36 interviews between the minister and the deputy minister, and some of these were used as a build-up to Africa Month activities. As you recall, we've had quite a number of issues around the attacks on foreign nationals, and therefore there was a need for more public awareness to take place around that time in the lead-up to Africa Month, and so those working visas were also addressing some of those concerns. And the number of cultural seasons implemented as approved, we had 3 targeted cultural seasons to be implemented in this quarter, but currently we only have 2. And so that is the China and the UK seasons, which are closing off this year. Now, the BRICS was also one of the cultural seasons, and with one of the big BRIC countries, the negotiations are underway with the Russians. What has happened is in July, the BRICS countries met, and for the first time, a BRICS cultural agreement was signed. And this cultural agreement, this was in July, this cultural agreement then helped us to be able to identify areas of cooperation between the BRIC countries, and therefore becomes an updated framework for us to be able to do the cultural seasons. And hence, that's where now we are actually looking at the cultural, the cultural seasons with Russia to then build on that framework that was signed on by the ministers. So we haven't met the target for the cultural seasons. And then the community conversations on social cohesion and nation building conducted here, the target for the quarter was 5, and we haven't in the first quarter, we're revising the methodology of how we're doing these conversations so that it's now much more thematic and it's actually helping the Outcome 14 program. And so some of the, so we will be resuming the community conversations now based on this new thematic approach, because previously we've just been almost like a shotgun approach. You come to the community, there is quite a number of issues, but it's not necessarily concentrated on particular topics. So this new approach is to be able to deal with the topics that are affecting people on the ground, such as the migration problem that's resulted in the attacks on foreign nationals, things around the energy crisis, and so forth, to say what can be done, what can be the contribution that the communities can make to that, and that would ultimately lead to a social compact in the different communities that we can base around those thematic areas. And so this is the target that we haven't been able to meet because we've been implementing a new approach on focusing around the thematic issues. And then going to branch 3, ABPD, the number of functional incubators established. We had a target of 6 incubators, and we were able to implement the 6 incubators. And when you look at the number of masterclasses, the target was 5, and we were able to support 6. So we've met the target. And then the number of cultural events from the open call supported, the target was 21, and we've only supported 15 cultural events projects through the NGE open call. Now, part of the reasons for this is that with Africa Month and the kind of budget pressures, when we went to cabinet, and Africa Month was seen as a very good proactive tool, rather than the reactive tool in dealing with the issue of migration and the attacks on foreign nationals. And hence we had to increase the budget to Africa Month to be able to achieve the extended kind of expectations around how we can be able to use this in a proactive way. And then of course, working with a finite budget, that means that we would not be able to support as many other cultural events because of the need to balance, and we're not going to be getting extra budgets, for example, from Treasury. And so then that had an impact in terms of the number of projects then that were available in terms of the money available to support the number of projects. And so, but also within this 15, there were quite a number of them that were for Africa Month. And so that's why we did not meet that particular target. And then the number of flagships, cultural events supported per year, we've been able to meet the targets because these are actually planned way in advance, and there's also 3-year commitments for these. And then number of community arts center programs activated per year, we had the target being 10 and then 17. Programs were implemented, so we've met the target. And in terms of the number of touring ventures, productions and exhibitions, we were able to support the targeted amount of 21. And the last one being the number of reading and writing programs supported. The target was 1 program implemented. However, as part of Africa Month, we were able to have 3 colloquial programs promoting the role of authors in Africa were held. So we were able to meet the target. And continuing on ADPD, the fully operational advent procuring and renting of artworks, and the target there was finalizing the contractual agreement and to appoint the project manager. So the contractual agreement was finalized. However, the contract, the appointment of the project manager has not yet been finalized in terms of them being appointed. There was ongoing consultation in terms of the advertising has gone out, but the finalization of the process has not yet been done. And the number of language practice bursaries awarded here, we have a three-year commitment with the University of South Africa, Limpopo, and those stated there. And so an amount of 6 million was transferred to the following to those universities over the three-year process. So this only happens once a year, and so therefore there was no quota target there because it's a yearly program. And in terms of continuing language, the percentage of accepted documents that are translated or edited into official languages, the target is that 100% of the accepted documents must be edited and translated, and we were able to meet the target. And the number of domains for terminology development, we've been able to meet the targets for ICT, 200 technology, terminologies, for human, social, economic, and management sciences, and also for the mathematics senior phase, those targets were achieved. And then going to heritage targets, the number of archives we hosted, so we have one, and this was held during Africa Month in Limpopo, the National Archives Week, and the target was met. And then we have the number of oral history methodology training for learners, and the target there was to engage with the Department of Basic Education to identify participating schools. Then 40 learners were identified and trained in 5 schools. And in addition to that, we do have an ongoing engagement with the Department of Basic Education on the different elements. When we talk about the SUS program being integrated into one program within DAC, that process has already started where the deputy ministers have met, and we are finalizing there was already an existing MOU, but the MOU has different tracks. One would be lent in schools, one would be artistic schools and so forth, and those are being finalized with the Department of Basic Education. And then the target on the percentage of accepted file plans evaluated, the target was that 100% of the accepted file plans must be evaluated, and therefore we've been able to meet the target of the 70 file plans being done. And then the multi-year digitization projects completed. The target was having 2 digitization projects, and these are, one is a Dicta Belt project with France, whereby the Rigoni trial Dicta Belts were collected, and they were digitized, and the physical handover took place already on the 18th of May. And then we had Percy Utah, whereby we had 12,000 pages digitized, by the 10th of June, so that those projects were delivered. Then coming to the flags, the number of handheld flags distributed, the target was 30,000, but we were only able to meet 11,150 flags distributed to date, and so we'll be using the National and Commemorative Days during the year to distribute as many of the handheld flags as possible. And the number of flag poles and flags installed at schools per year, the first quarter target was 500, but each service provider was directed to 200 installations. And due to the revival of the schools, of the project, more flags will be installed in schools, so we haven't been able to meet that target. And then the annual concept document for Heritage Day event, so the target there is having that annual concept document, and that's not yet been finalized. That would actually happen before this date, because the day is on the 24th. So that target is not fully achieved. And the number of approved concept documents for heritage infrastructure, then the target for the first quarter was the need identification. And so what we've done is we've approved 40 statues for funding in this financial year that will form part of the Heroes Acre. And the Heroes Acre has been identified where the land is going to be in front of, and it's also going to be having these statues that will then be forming part of the Your Heroes Acre in the National Heritage Monument. So we've been able to achieve that. Then the number of community libraries built per year. So this is an annual target, and hence we don't have a quarter target. But the progress to date is that we have 20 targeted new libraries, 11 at an average of about 65% completion stage, and then there are 9 that are below 50% completion stage. So this is a target that we are monitoring in terms of making sure that we are able to meet the annual target. And then on the expenditure report, so the total expenditure that as of the 30th of June 2015 is about 676, which represents 17%. And in institutional governance, we haven't spent as much, and the result is around 4%. And so that just graphically shows where we are with expenditure, and then we're just going to go into the details of where are the areas of under expenditure. When we look at economic classification, you'll see that we would have underspent, we're at 0% around the EPTEL works tasks for the economic classification. And when we look at the, perhaps I can just pause and then talk to the capital works. This is a perennial problem, and Chair, you would, it's probably what you're mentioning earlier on in your address, that this is one of the challenges here that you always raise. And so what we've done, so we do have a problem with IDP in terms of the implementation agency, but also when it comes to some of the verification of the lease payments that we have with public works, there has been a problem in being able to get confirmations to say, are these amounts the right amounts that we've been charged for the leases, that we've been charged also for the services and electricity and so forth. So that has taken time to be able to try to sort out. And what we've done in regards to this, we've been able to now go and tender for importantly for firstly getting more project managers that will be able to help us on a technical basis. The current people that we have would not necessarily have the skills to be able to go to a project with IDP and be able to assess, is this worth the amount that is actually being claimed? And therefore, we need to be able to have the technical expertise that can be able to ascertain the technical completion and be able to say this is what is being claimed by IDP. And we've been also looking, we have, in addition to head the project managers within the DAC, and we also have technical suppliers who can be able to now take us much better than where IDT is. And we've been having conversation with IDT in terms of we're not going to give new projects to IDT, but to say, for these existing projects, how do we complete them and make sure that we get value for money? And so it's a, unfortunately, it's not an easy problem to say we've been able to resolve soon. But in order to be able to move ahead, we've fast-tracked the appointment of our project managers and also the technical suppliers to be part of our panel of suppliers in order to be able to fast-track the projects, because reliance on IDT as the implementing agency has actually hampered our progress. And now, of course, the difficulty is that are we going to be saying getting more payments but without being able to be assured of value for money, then it would be irresponsible for one to be able to do that. So that's the kind of difficulty that we face. So we're saying we cannot transfer monies when we're not able to ascertain the technical percentage completion and that there is value for money as required by the PFMA. And so that's been the perennial problem. So tonight then, let's just go on the line item on the economic classification just to explain some of the variations. Compensation of employees, we have incurred about 24%, which is in line with the targets in terms of that are given by Treasury. And then the goods and services, where we're looking at an amount of 16% to be incurred by the 30th June. The major contributing factor is delays of processing the DPW office accommodation. Now, we also are moving offices, and we had budgeted that by the time we would have moved office. However, when we're moving to, there hasn't been the certificate of occupation being signed, which makes it difficult to be able to then spend on the projected tenant installations. Where we are currently, it's not a healthy kind of environment in terms of just the conditions of the building. So we've been pushing in terms of the relocation, and we haven't been able to get from the landlord managed through DPW that certificate of occupation, which will then trigger us to be able to spend on them the tenant installations and the moving of the IT infrastructure and so forth. So that's been one of the contributing factors for the under expenditure on the goods and services. And then we've spoken about the community conversations where we are really looking at the approach. And then with regard to the conditional grants on community libraries, the amount has been 997 million, and this is based on the approved business plans, so that's on track, and we are meeting those in terms of the requirements in terms of spending. And then this is just the breakdown of the actual spend to according to provinces. And then looking at the departmental agencies and accounts, then these are the current transfers to our entities. We have spent 25% as at the 10th of June, and this is done on a quarterly basis. And then the spend that is high would be the National Heritage Council, that is, we give the money according to their business plan. And then capital works. That's what I've highlighted now, the challenge that we do have with IDT, and then also the fast tracking of project managers and also the service providers on the panel of suppliers. And with regard to non-profit institutions, we are on track in terms of the payments. And now with public corporations, this relates to transfer payments around MGE, cultural development, human language technologies, and so forth. And so most of this money, the 49%, has been spent based on Africa Month. Now, Africa Month is a once, it happens during May, and so therefore it will not be a smooth kind of spending. That's why most of the money was then spent during the first quarter. And so, but when you look at the other quarters, there would not be any additional money spent relating to Africa Month necessarily. so it will smooth itself out. So it just pops out now because of having that 1 month worth of activities taking place. And then households, about 26% has been incurred, which is amounting to 9 million. And these really relate to the language practice and heritage bursaries, and it's done according to the agreements of that we have with the universities. And then capital assets. So this has an the under expenditure is due to the capacity which led to delay in the creation of CETA orders and relating to the internal system. So we've had quite a number of people leaving on our IT, which has put pressure on the processing of the payments to CETA and so forth. And also, we've in the month of May, we've been advertised to fill that capacity, so that should be confirmed soon, because we do have, the challenges have even been on the email system, because we don't have enough capacity in terms of administrators, and that has put pressure on the email systems, but also on the payments that needed to be made to CETA relating to the development of the national website and so forth. So that's an area that we are dealing with. And so broadly, that provides an overview of the performance, but also on the expenditure patterns. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Christian, for the presentation. I'm now providing an opportunity for honorable members to ask questions or to make comments. Honorable Fuskon and Honorable McCoy and Honorable Masango in the order.
Thank you, Jay. I see there was a little bit of reluctance to ask questions. But thank you for the interpretation. And I think one of the first questions that I wanted to ask was about the merging of Windy Brow and the Martha Theatre. But I think you've answered the question there and relayed the fears that I have, because apart from the two entities, there's also a different culture within these two entities in terms of the public they serve and the production that they put on stage. Now, the first question that I want to ask was concerning your branch 3ACTD, with specific reference to the number of language practices that were awarded. Now, you say you have awarded 6 million was transferred to the following universities, to those universities. But now, what is not clear and hasn't come clear out in your financials are the specifics with reference to how many, I can't take it, it would be 1 million per university, how many bursaries per university and so on. So that the person can get an idea the number of students that are benefiting from those bursaries. The second question is with the issue of place. There are three related questions here. One is they are the question in terms of we are struggling with jobs here. Why are we importing all these flags from China? The second one is you haven't mentioned anything about the CDs that you've been handing out, the national anthem, the national flag of building a South African identity, and also the flag of the African Union. Those are funds that you have not indicated the expenditure there or in your report. The last question refers to disbursing of funds. In terms of, I needed to find out why the variance of in payments to the different provinces, because I see Gauteng and the Western Cape and to a lesser extent the Eastern Cape respectively 1% and 7% that you have been receiving. What is there specific reason for those variants, and what would those actual reasons be? And then the last question is, in terms of the your explanation of expenditure variance by economic classifications, public corporations, now you said your expenditure ratio plus are famous with MGD, that's on page 28, okay. Now I just need to find out, can this expenditure incurred be measured against the jobs created under the MGD, such as Golden Economy?
Thank you, Honorable Hutton. Honorable McConnell.
Expenditure. Indeed, there was a reluctance from the members to interact with the presentation. The reason could be where the about the progress in the department. That could be the only reason, sure. And all of us as the members, we had hoped that one day things would go right in the department. And after we had made such an effort to assist and support the department to make sure that things go right. And if it happens like this, you are likely to be disappointed. I will not necessarily mean this because we can't, but we are disappointed about the performance. It is true, DG, that the only expenditure that which is going very well in the department is your salary. In response to a question could be why people are getting paid almost every month and they're receiving their salary, but the work is not done. Why? The question could be, you have got a system in the department which you pay your employees' salaries. And you might not have systems in the department to make sure that you achieve your objectives. That could be the answer that I may have. And as long as you don't have systems in place, you'll never make it. You'll never make it, DG. You see, we've been always having a problem with this department, even before your arrival. This department has got a history of underperformance and underestimation. And I can even say it to you that, you see, it could be two things. If you happen not to make it right from the start, because this is your first goal, there could be two things. It's that you might not make it right even in the second court. Or if you have detected issues that made you not to do right, if you sit on those issues, you won't make it right. But I have got a problem with the second option that I'm giving you, because of the language which is used in the report. You say that you are supposed to have 5 community conversation during the first court, which could be your first quarter ended by the end of June, isn't it?
And now it's August. You are left with, I think it's 1 month, towards the end of the second court. And if you report to us now, you say, community conversation will resume before the end of the second court. What does that do? Because you are in the end of the second court. That's the language that I have with you. You know what it says? It says, we have not sat down on top of the promise that makes you to achieve what you intend to achieve. So, it becomes very difficult for us when we see statements like that to even engage with the reporter. Because we know that when you appear, probably sometimes in October or November, the very same responses we are going to get, that we did not achieve what we set to achieve in the second court, we are going to resume by the end of the second court. Up until you arrive at the first court, you're giving the very same answer. I've got just very little advice. Put your systems in place. You see, sitting here I am. I remember when you made your second appearance to the portfolio committee, I had hope that maybe things will change. I even uttered a statement that you see, it's only change that will not change. But things will change. I'm asking myself, what could be the problem in the government? If it's not the top management that is not in top of things, what could be? I think it's the issue that you need to ask yourself. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable Mashanko and Honorable Mokhotin.
Thank you. I guess my colleagues have expressed the views that we have in the committee, to which I truly do subscribe. There are a few things I'd like to get from the report. The underperformance is obviously not acceptable at all. Perhaps we should advise the DG to be hands-on. Because once you underperform on quota one, you are likely to perpetuate the underperformance. What we did last time around, and I think it's an effort that we should have asked the department to do ahead of today, whereas we are dealing with quota one, the fact that we are now in the middle of it's gone two-thirds of the second quarter, at least we should have been afforded information up to, say, whatever has been made in the second quarter, so that we're somewhere closer to the updated, if it was possible, if we already have the details. But over and above that, it would be nice to hear, it would have been good to hear what the views of Treasury is in terms of the performance. I don't know whether departments do need Treasury and Treasury is able to do a quarterly evaluation. I know they normally would. In provinces, they do a monthly assessment because you submit to them and they give some feedback. I don't know what happens at the national level. But it would be good to have heard how the National Treasury reacts to our performance here. There are other things that I just am going to raise before I get into the report itself. When we were in Limpopo, we exposed, in our lessons to Limpopo, we were exposed to a few things that we are unhappy about. And they do speak to our performance in a way. And I'll be raising them as I go deeper into the report. But I'm just going to raise them just as a precursor here. Two matters that possibly the three matters that require the attention. You know, the area of our performance in the arts and culture space is a problem. We even called one of your senior managers here to get clarity on the question of payment for these artists in schools. And we were hoping that in a meeting like this, we actually expect in our first meeting, we must get a briefing as to why it's important for artists to be not paid. Surely, these are some of the things that, for the department, is more of a mechanical matter, but people who are supposed to be getting those meaning cents, it's everything. We would still like to know why the Limpopo artists were not paid. We also got information that the artists are not paid the same, whatever you call those payments, I don't know what they are named. They are not the same in the country. You have areas like Gauteng where they are paid more. If it's true, I don't know. But I think that kind of clarity would help us to work with it to such an issue. There are no books in libraries. I mean, some of the libraries have ordered books a few years ago, and all they got was 10. For instance, when we went to Musina Check and we didn't give you the book, only 10 books were received in 3 years. Now, we look at the expenditure here on libraries. Because the money here is not so basic except the one that you find on page 19 where you look at the infrastructure. But your expenditure on libraries is bad, and libraries have no books. And the books that are sold by libraries are not the books that are delivered. And in the process, they actually affect the interest of those people who are supposed to be attending libraries. And it becomes a very messy situation. You've got people there who are very committed to the work, but they're discouraged about what happens at your level. The people who take decisions, even the librarian, are very discouraged about going to your selection forums because they actually go there and the next thing they don't get finished on that. I mean, books. So it's a bad thing. The other question I would like to raise, and from there I'll get into the topic, is with regards to the archiving. I know that archives are a concurrent responsibility. You've got NESAL, you've got the provincial. But there are places where there's movement, there are areas where there's no movement, and I don't know what the thinking at the national level is around the archive. Because in a province like Eastern Cape, for instance, where you hardly have an archive, provincial archive, what are we saying as a government about what should actually happen? Are we doing things as they are? If the province can't raise several millions to come up with an archive and archive building and start to make sure that those documents are collected and basically, what does the national department do? The exposure that we had in Limpopo of papers that we literally left there to rot, they are now being salvaged. Storage paper, perhaps we could only commend the MC there for standing up and protecting and defending the archives. And I know that's happening in my province because I know we built a beautiful building, but it spent empty with only one official. I think information was shared in one of the interactive meetings we had with the universities around the issue of archives. Now, I don't know what's going to happen, what is happening in Bumalang, for instance, with regards to the information. I don't know what's happening in Eastern Cape, it must be worse because they hardly have anything. But this takes me to another aspect, you know, the whole restitution issue as to whether we will be in a position to really help our people through this situation. But something of you such is, what happens to the court records? Are they coming to ourselves as the national libraries? And, I mean, regarding our responsibility for the remaining, the justice responsibility in terms of archiving, because they are big problems, both in the courts, both in the corrections. They are very serious problems that they are being faced in. Where do we locate this matter? Now, my introduction was a bit too long, but getting to the pages now, I can see that they were talking about 24 plus 2 entities on paper. By the way, how many entities we have? Because they keep on changing. The public entities of the of death. We used to get a number of 28 or something. Now, if the total is 26, let me be 26, because well, it's the first time I come across 26. I know that we're talking of 38 or something, but anyway, with regards to the performance, one would assume that they can only be less than 28 if Willy Bro is going. 29 can only be asked if Willy Bro is incorporated in something else or when others are incorporated in something else. But as a performance, one would expect that we cannot have underperformance in all quarters in terms of the cattles of entities, because we can't have a target that is less than the complete. And we can't blame for less than the total as a rule on a given quarter, because it's actually the right thing. That's effective. Now, on page 9, we are referring to the incubator, the number of functional incubators service. We've used abbreviations, which are a bit of a problem to me. You're talking about PIAs. I don't know what PIAs mean. And capacity music. Kind of international entity. I don't know what it is and where it is located, what it actually means. I know there was some kind of issue in Bumalak, but no. Now, if we don't have sufficient information somewhere, we are actually lost. So just as a rule, when we get information, it must actually help us to use it, because for now, I can't use their thing for anything because I don't have the information. On page 10, number of community art centers activated per year. Earlier on, I did speak about I spoke about the artists in schools. So when we were in the book, with regard to the community art centers, I can see that we're talking about 10 that needed to be activated year, and then we are saying that 17 were implemented in the first quarter. We needed to do 10 more, 10 per quarter, and then 17 have been done. Now, it would be interesting to know what we mean, because we visited 3 art centers in the book. All of them live much with the desire. So, no manager, there is nothing else in them. Absolutely nothing in them. We're in Toya, we're in the first one next to Pulwane, in the township, we're home. It's just an empty shell. Actually, the Department of Education is occupying the space because there's nothing arts and culture about it. It's such an organization that is living very, very badly. Which we met, who are not receiving any assistance in a center whose chairs are all broken. That's all we can talk about that center. But there's nothing art in that building at all, that asset. The next asset was in Yaren. It's an empty shell, cars are actually parking in the center, a lot of oil on the ground. Also an empty shell. Actually, the people who are playing a much more important role is the council, is the local municipality. They're trying to do something and will give us adequate answers. But the centers themselves are the manager was there some 5 years ago, whilst was supported by some foreign government, I can't remember, Flemish government or something like that. But we have not done anything. So I don't know what we are talking about. And I think it would be helpful if we get to know where these exhibitions are. In the same way as you've presented something in on page 19, which I will speak to you later. I'm actually interested in delving into this art bank, but I can see that our activity was just to finalize the contractual agreement. But our performance is fully operational art bank procuring. First quarter, I finalized contractual appointment manager. But it is something that is very crucial that I think we need to keep it on our data, I mean, our screen, because we are not, because perhaps this is what we approve, it's fine, but it's an area that we need to pay special attention to. I'm going to jump these other pages. I want to go to page 14, and I remember Goldbaum referred to this matter when he spoke to the flag. Now, I don't know, and I know that when we passed this budget for the NPP, at that stage we had not envisaged the issue of the African Union and the African Union flags. But we have picked up, as since the president made an announcement, there has been a shift in the thinking of the department to come up with the African flag. In one of the schools that we went to, we see that they were issuing out a flag, but there wasn't a flag code. So it's a hard contradiction in terms of what we do. I think the chair in her initial input did speak about our concept about what happened. We have raised this matter even last year around the flag, that the fictitious companies were appointed, but also that we don't think this thing is being executed in the manner which actually have to be affected, that of building social cohesion, nation building, and so forth. So the issue of the flag remains a very sore point, and I think our experience when we were in the court, we were taken aback, because how much even then was left, we should make sure that children themselves, I mean, that is a home, it's a parallel of anyone. It takes one deck of cement and a few, and half the back, wheelbarrow, and actually now they also have this call, we mix the bag of concrete. If you were to deliver two flags to a school, the African Union and the African flag, and there are kids ready, I mean, do it themselves, it can be done by every school. So the question of the numbers, actually we could do them like yesterday. Now we are using consultants do this thing, and all they are doing is a mess, and the quality that is being delivered there it's terrible. It's terrible quality. Some of the roles that have been procured, they are literally freaking out. I mean, they are too much better. What do you call it? So many people say that it's actually just horrible. Okay? Either we do it or we don't do it. If we do it, it's just the simplest way of doing it. The chair raised the issue about the police hoisting the flag in some places. Good and bad. But surely, the kids can do this thing. Think through your cooperation with the Department of Basic Education, these things can be easily resolved. So, let me step on that one. On page 15, there is a number of libraries that are here. And, I normally hate this kind of information. Because I can ask all of you here, something like DG and the team, Ubuti, where is Orangeville? Where is Atana? Where is Rizik? And I'm on Delhi. Where is Homeville? Where is Nopal Port, later Baldak, Karepur, Manifini, very bad name, Vlamedo, Sakami, Pati, Pati Lana. You will not be able to tell me where they are. Okay. I doubt if any one of you would tell me all of these things as you speak it. Now, all of this over time. Now, she can speak for the places because it is from the Free State. She's able to relate to them. And I must know as an individual as to where these things are. So this information really does not help. If we say Orangeville, we must then say Orangeville is in the Free State or the Western Cape. I know that the space is small, but it's in an attachment. Orangeville is in Gatiso, in Gauteng. At least we are able to follow where it is. In the manner in which it's here, really, this as a public document does not help to have. So I think in future we could attach something that explains where they are, because if there's anything in Mpumalanga, I would like to follow it up. And because we're only in Limpopo, we wanted to look at other places. We're struggling. Your department did not know where some of your libraries were. I mean, literally, we spent hours advising that you wanted to opt out of that thing because they did not know themselves where they are. And we're not, I mean, you can have members of the opposition that can agree with us sometimes that you're aware. We got to all of us. We couldn't find the place. It just tells you what you want. We do this thing even now, and I don't know who those people were, whether they are in the province or they were at the national office, there was a manabo, but they could did not know the place to go to. From the morning, I mean, we wanted to go to a school where they are packed. Our public department, we spent, we were supposed to be there early. We left a hotel, what time? Past 6, what time do you arrive? Tonight. A dinner that was supposed to take us 35 to 35 minutes, it took close to an hour, 2 hours. We disrupted the school. The officials did not know. So I'm just saying, some of this is going to figure. And then Maracol has already spoken to the administration and qualified his argument and I can't agree more with him. The performance here, you spoke to it, DJ. It remains unacceptable and not satisfactory. The 30% underperformance, you are unlikely to catch up with it. The likelihood it is going to perpetuate in the following years. So the performance, financial performance, once you are not able to spend, you may not catch up unless you end up with fiscal dumping at the end of the financial year. So it's very unacceptable. Now, your page 19, there are areas which are, I already spoke up to the issue of your grants to municipalities. I have to assume that these are both for infrastructure as well as books. And we are unhappy. Well, the whole underperformance here is scary and it's actually very, very bad. And I think it would have helped us if you hold us as to how, as you were concluding, how you're going to hoping to remediate the situation. On the page 35, Gauteng and the Western Cape, the performance of the infrastructure here is bad. We did raise the issue when we were in Limpopo because I think the excitement moment of these libraries was we were in Limpopo. They wanted to show us Limpopo, which was not performing well, still not. None of the 9 places actually performing satisfactory. So we saw this 1%. And we raised it, and someone said, no, it's wrong actually. Western Cape is actually, let's just throw enough. But they then said to us, how these money are utilized in the Western Cape is, they transfer them to the province and profits transfer them to the municipality. Now, it's a very strange arrangement, because constitutionally, there must be some mismatch of issues. And I think we will need to be briefly around this performance and what happens with us to libraries in different countries, because we seem to be having different regimes in operation, maybe they are problematic. But the performance here is worrying. There is no way they will fast track the, well, let me say there is no way. We need to find a way of improving our performance in terms of the expenditure in libraries, because libraries have a propensity to create jobs, but they are the resources that are required by our people. If we could improve on 1.3 billion, which constitutes 30% of our budget, we would have done ourselves good. So if there's one area where we must really, really give attention, it's this thing, because they actually speak to our people almost on a daily basis. The title on page 29, households, is it the treasury title? What is household supposed to be mean? You guys, you colleagues from the arts and culture and language, and is it a very proper title for this thing? Because some of these terminologies are a problem. You must have check it.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member, Honorable Mkhotsi, and Honorable Representative.
Thank you. I joined that. My question is Honorable Mahlang and Honorable Makhundu's government, that I will focus on the issue of the administration. Well done for number one in terms of 70%. I don't know, maybe it's the issue of procurement and the department of the UN. But you come to the issue of women, DG, you have given us the same response that you've given us last time. When you said you will go back to your database and check how many companies the department takes and you are getting that again. And I'm a black woman sitting in this committee, and the women are building an important structure in our society. And when you check the areas of inequalities, I see load in the women. And what the department is doing now, you don't even assist us. And unemployment is on the women, the poverty is on the women. And if the department is not too much on this, we are failing the women of the country. Hope the time will get a better jacket. Then on the issue of disability, one would like to say, cheer up to the department. But where is this disability located in terms of your directorate? I hope it's not in the lower level of it. So maybe next time we see really the change on the senior management in terms of the issue of disability. Then when we come to the institutional and governance, you see, Chairperson, if any company or any department is not doing well on the issues of government, there is a problem. That's why today you are stuck with PENSALP, because there's a PENSALP inside the department that is not functioning. If one of your entities is not functioning and you don't see it, and when you come to the department under institutional governance, you're not functioning. So PENSALP should be taken from them, because there's no difference between the department and principal, but it's happening on the issue of government. And hope maybe next time we see a change in terms of that. Yeah, that's what I said. I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable Doctor.
Thanks, Chairperson. My views about the library segment. I realize that there are libraries that have been built by provinces. And I want to know who is actually managing these libraries that are being built by provinces. And normally, how long does it take for a library to function after it has been built? Thank you.
Thank you very much. I will now give you an opportunity. candidate to respond, and your manager respond.
Thank you, Chair, and thank the members for the constructive feedback and also suggestions. Perhaps we would start with the request my colleagues to answer some of the specific questions. Perhaps we can start with Mentalia.
Good morning, members, and many thanks for the opportunity to respond to some of your questions. With regards to the language bursaries, our target this year is 320. Provisional figures that we have at the moment, which will obviously be finalised with the final intake of students now sort of towards the end of the quarter, is 52 students at this, Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University, 57, Northwest University, 64, UWC, 40, UNISA, 68, Limpopo, 60. Obviously, there are various figures because of the size of the different departments, but also whether or not they're offering undergraduate or postgraduate bursary opportunities, but we could certainly search for more detail as is requested. So in essence, each university is provided with R1 million, but there's a target attached to that, and then there's obviously negotiation depending on the needs of the individual students that happens throughout that process. With regards to performance generally, I think that we would acknowledge that this quarter has not been optimal in terms of performance, and we certainly will aim to do better in branch in institutional governance as well as branch arts, culture promotion and development. There are in fact 29 institutions who receive funding from the Department of Arts and Culture. 26 are declared cultural institutions or funding agencies that are Schedule 3A public institutions. Three of them are associated institutions, essentially Business Arts South Africa, England Brickhouse and Blind South Africa. So there are 26 who have boards, which is why the target is 24 plus 2. But as has been pointed out, if the consolidation of Wendy Brown Market Theatre does go ahead, although obviously ADG's points have real resonance with this committee also having dealt with the downtown student issue, if there need to be 26 fully constituted boards in order to bring us to full total. The indicators we've established with Performing Arts Institutions, PIAs, that's the acronym, and our apologies, in future we will make sure that that is not the case. We essentially have done with each of the performing arts institutions, but at the moment we actually see Wynne Brown Market Theatre as one because the two essentially managed as a single institution. The Casterbridge Music Academy is in Mpumalanga because one of the major issues about the performing arts institutions is that they're not nationally distributed. So it was a major input to begin to say this is a great project that's doing great work, and as such the integrated program will begin to look in its next phase at other sites around the country to make sure that these incubators happen in all spaces. In terms of the Community Arts Centre programs, the primary focus of the program in its current form is to work through Community Arts Centre networks, and there's one in each province, and it's essentially through that program that we've delivered 17 individual Community Arts Centre programs. The community arts environment at a policy level is a very complex and very challenging one. Some community arts centres are completely independent of government, some of them are owned by province, and some of them are owned by local municipalities. And I understand from the colleagues who were with you in Poland that the bulk of the ones that you saw are in fact local government institutions. And one of the things that we've seen across all community arts centres, in fact, is the centres either not being open at all or rather being used for other kinds of community events, weddings and churches and those kinds of things, which is fine, but they're not art centres in that respect. So we ring-fenced a fairly substantial amount of money in this financial year to begin to do two things, one of which is to make available funds through provinces to essentially do a major refurbishment of existing community arts centres. And the second is essentially to open a call to independent community arts centres for programming, but also in terms of key refurbishment issues that may be required at these particular centres. And that correspondence is currently flowing between ourselves and provinces, and ourselves and an identified number of centres which we identified in 2013 audit that began to tell us about their functionality. It is exceptionally distressing to hear that the Giani Arts Centre in particular is an empty shell, but that is often the case with community arts centres, which is why it's been brought front and centre in the current administration, is to try and resolve these issues. But we also understand that there's major policy imperatives here, is we need proper alignment between the two spheres of government so that everybody takes responsibility for these centres. So one of the things that we've done in call that will go to provinces and through provinces to local municipalities is to stipulate that the only point at which money will flow for refurbishment is if there's actually management and centre programming, because that's really what makes the big difference in the community arts space, is not just having the structure, but actually having things to animate that structure. We'd be more than happy to do a detailed presentation on the art bank. It is now with the National Museum working through Irvin Hayes, and we are looking forward to the appointment of the project manager soon. Just in terms of household, it is a SCOA classification, a standard charter of accounts classification, and it's essentially a fairly uncomfortable phrasing, but in our terms, it essentially means transfers that we in NGE or cultural development would do to individuals rather than necessarily non-profits or public corporations. It also speaks, for example, in the heritage frame to the groceries that would be provided directly to individuals, not through a transacting legal entity. But it is a fairly standard classification that we all have some challenges with. I hope that has fully responded to the questions in terms of institutional governance, but also to arts culture promotion and development. Thank you.
Just going to see, are there any follow-ups on the responses that we gave?
No, just a follow-up on this notebook that you gave us that we see is so gracious from the Department of Defense. There are only 25, you see, and that is why, to me, there was a confusion in terms of the number of institutions of the bank.
One message. The matter that has been raised here around the community art centers and the discussion between provinces and the national government. You know, with regards to provinces, what we think, and I think it would be almost a similar situation in all provinces, sport is, because provincial department is sports agriculture. Sport is a stronger component in provincial. Art is not quite a key component. So if you have that kind of negotiation, even with municipalities, and the reason why is a complaint that, well, there's a complaint between the department, not the portfolio committee on sport, that at municipal level, municipalities don't prioritize sport. But provinces are very strong on sport. So what we pick up in the report is that actually municipalities are much more interested in the arts. So if, and I don't know, I don't want to interfere with how government runs its matter, but I found Ubuti even in terms of answers, your national officials, together with your provincial officials, they were actually weak in terms of covering the community. Your very junior official municipalities actually gave more flesh than the two put together. And if I had things my way, and I wouldn't want to intervene, I would do a thing, I would expect if department speaks to municipalities via province, whichever way, but your ultimate target would be those municipalities to then make better progress. But if you say to provinces, good luck.
You may not be the same as that's my technology. It's not kind of thing.
Thank you, Honorable Remba. Honorable Gokong?
Sorry, Chair, I may have missed it, but I think the question of Honorable Masad was not asked in respect of the discrepancies and inconsistencies in payments of stipends to artists in schools.
Yeah, in fact, I was also going to raise that, because this was an issue in our
oversight, is it? But also, I think, for me, I think it's important when you craft the document for you to give us enough information so that your presentation, you know, doesn't provoke questions. But you give us. I think by now you know our questions. I mean, anybody who has been in the portfolio committee for more than 3 times, they know what information we would like to have as the portfolio committee. For instance, if you are saying to us, you have number of 17 programs that are implemented in the community at center under the period, and where exactly? I think you know this. This is what we always ask, where is this happening? Because when we go out there, people ask us questions, we need to have the information. We don't want to appear, you know, stupid when we are asked questions about us and culture, and we can't respond to the questions. And then craft this document for the portfolio committee. I think it's important for you to have that as a back of your mind. Because we can't carry on asking the same questions over and over again when a document raises more questions than answers. I think it's important that we've said this from day one, and I don't think it's fair for you to let us ask this question. Because you get tired. I mean, I'm tired of asking the same questions every day. It's not good for any of us. So I think it's important when you craft documents for the portfolio committee, you give us all the information. Don't let us ask, don't wait until we ask you questions, because we were wasting a lot of time asking questions that would have been here, and we would just read that this is what is happening in this area. Because we are a national portfolio committee that has to know what is happening all over the country, not in Cape Town only. So I think it's important for you to do this, because my questions revolve really around that issue of where are these things happening, because we are from an oversight visit, and the honorable members have said that there is a strong arts and culture, you know, spirit in that province. You would just, you know, anticipate that the department, the presence of the department itself there, because that province is strong in issues of arts and culture. But you went there, and if you are saying you've given so much for refurbishment of art centers, we have that art center in mind where, I mean, you don't have a picture of what we saw there. And I think it's important for the department to apply your mind when you do this. Don't do this as a by the way thing, because we need this information. Not for ourselves, but for the people that are serving. It's our work. This is what we are paid to do. Can you respond to this or not?
Chairperson, indeed, my apologies for missing the arts in school issue. There has been a delay in contracting with all of the artists in schools, and as such, what the committee discovered in Limpopo is in fact true across the entire artists in schools program. We're working at the moment to finalize and to expedite the paperwork to make sure that it can essentially cover the obligations that were made to artists who were working, and of course, obviously, go forward. But in response to, I think, a lot of the issues raised by the committee as well as our own concerns, we will be having a detailed look at the program in its totality and begin to look at its implementation. There are differential rates applied in specific premises. For example, in the Free State, the program is registered as an extended public works and EWP program. And as a result, that rate applies to how the artists in schools are remunerated. The artists in Gauteng and Western Cape are remunerated at a higher level, largely because of the competitive nature of these provincial environments, where it's quite hard to obtain the skills at a particular level. But that's precisely one of the reasons that we really want to take a good long look at the whole program and establish whether or not there just should be a standard dispensation across all frameworks, because what we have allowed for is a degree of provincial variation, just given the fact that art and culture implements this in part partnership with provincial government on both arts and culture and education, but we are starting to see that these knowledge in the program are not desirable and certainly do require a rethink on our behalf. Chairperson, in terms of the places where the 17 programs of community art are happening, I don't have them immediately to mind, but I will make sure that they're with you before the end of the session. They've been sent a text message to me now. But as I said, we have been working with provincial networks of community art centers, and I'm not entirely sure, obviously they were not perhaps working in the centers where you were, but there is a proper network, and it is an active network, and it would be, I think, nice to give you some information about how some of the centers are in fact working, not only those that are not. I think that Member Malanga made some interesting comments about the extent to which local government is a very important partner in arts and culture, and I think that is critical. And in fact, one of the biggest challenges with the 1996 white paper is that it was completely silent on issues of local culture in local government, because if you recall, the 1998 white paper of local government came into being much later, and that's one of the issues that we really do need to begin to think about in this bigger white paper review as well, is how do we encourage local government to get more involved in arts and culture. We would certainly see it being absolutely apparent that sport is one of the dominant features of the arts and culture portfolios in provinces. We do see significant progress in provinces like KwaZulu-Natal, where the two programs are delinked. Having said that, we've also seen across the board major recessions in the budgets allocated to arts and culture at provinces. It's currently disguised slightly by the increase in the library conditional grant, but it is a major concern, and we have highlighted it very sharply to Treasury in recent engagement that we've been having through the EdTech process. Thank you.
Say the questions around the libraries and the flags, perhaps Ms. Ndima can be able to cover. Just clarity on the AU flags. The AU flag is required to be hoisted in government departments and public entities, not in schools. So it hasn't cascaded to that level. So the kind of focus currently, policy-wise, was that the president said, no, the current flags, South African flags, would be in schools, but for the AU, is specifically relating to public buildings and for government departments and for public entities. Perhaps Ms. Neymar, you can then answer their other questions.
Thank you very much. Back to DG, and thank you, Chairperson, Honorable Members. Maybe let me start by the question that was asked by Honorable Ward Baum about the importing of flags from China. I wouldn't really have a definitive answer there on that report form, because in our self-level agreement, we always indicate that we would need that all the services and products are South African products. But if there is a situation where that doesn't happen, it's something that we just have to investigate as department, because I fully agree with that report form that this is meant to benefit the South African people or even South African SMEs. So, and then there was a question about the budget for the CDs that we distribute and also the flags of the African Union. As the DG has indicated, the flags of the African Union has mainly been happened because of the Africa Month program, which was very elaborate this year. So as part of that, our international relations were able to procure some flags for us to be able to use them. And as the DG has also indicated, that the focal point currently is on our institutions, government institutions, even our cultural institutions, where the program where they are actually being flown in our institutions. And of course, the issue that Honorable Mashlang spoke about, that having a flag but not having a flag post. In fact, that's the problem that we're even having in our institutions, because our institutions have got a flag, maybe two flag posts, some of them. The flag pole, which is for their own flag, as well as the South African flag. Now, when we came with it, because we've been supplying them with the AU flag, remainder of what we the supplies that we bought during Africa Month.
they have been saying that we have got two flagpoles. In fact, we have even been asking them to say, would you mind maybe just putting aside your flag and have a South African flag and the AU flag? And some of them actually acceded to that, with the hope that as time goes by, they'll then have another flagpole, so that you have those flagpoles. And then there was an issue of libraries. Why different, I didn't get the question went whether it was more about different budgets that are due to provinces. That was the first question that was, I remember the one for Honorable Rabuchabi. I'm still responding to the one of why you would have different budgets for different provinces. Other provinces getting smaller budgets than others. Okay. That area, Chairperson, the Honorable Member, arises from, I think that we have actually dealt with this here in terms of capacities of different provinces. Provinces that have always struggled to spend, and those provinces that have actually been able to spend. If you look at Limpopo and Northwest, and sometimes Mpumalanga have always struggled to spend on time. So that could be the explanation of different capacity levels. But also, if we were to get deeper into some of the provinces, there would be problems with the procurement processes, there would be problems at times with the contracting companies. So those are the challenges that you would have. But currently, I mean, I don't have the specific information on this. And then there was a question about another madam talking about absence of books. I must say that it's very disconcerting that there is this situation, because even in the department, we even employed provincial coordinators to assist us, because anyway, money is transferred to provinces. But we have our own coordinators within the department who are working with the provinces to see to it that they monitor. So if this has escaped our provincial coordinators, it would mean that we need to really build up our way of working with the coordinators to ensure that you don't have a situation where there are libraries with the books, because an empty shell can never be referred to the library, because the library is there to ensure that people can actually access the material. But we are taking it seriously, Honorable Marshall, and it's something that we really want to follow up on.
Just to ask you that, if you don't mind. Not that there are no books. There are old, irrelevant books. Books that are required are not ordered. I make an example of Muslim, that over a period of 3 years, they only got 10 books. The library, you see, Nathalie Sherakon, Mulepo, and irrelevant books. So, even if you have got all books, some of them long, old, donated books, but your system of supply books, I mean, in 3 years, only 10 books, means 3 books a year. I can do better than an individual. I actually buy more books a year than what the department supplies to Lucina in 3 years. I mean, I bought a lot of yesterday.
Thank you, Honorable Mashang, for the correction. And even that, Honorable Mashang, is not acceptable. And we'll definitely try and correct this as we move towards also the dual purpose libraries. Because the idea of dual purpose libraries is the one that says, have those libraries that serve the community at large, but also have within that library books that can support schools. And I think that when we focus our approach on that, there won't be that possibility of having updated books, because would be ensured that whatever stock that is being provided, it takes cognizance of the syllabus of those schools. So we will be attending to the matter, Honorable Member. Then there were questions around the archive. Yes, the department is focusing on the National Archives, but it has got interest in the provision, as well as even local government records, because those are part of the national memory, or the memory of our government. Now, we might have reported before that we are aware of the challenges that are facing libraries. In fact, we are, by end of October, would have concluded the study that looks at the state of archives in the country, which then looks not just only on our national archives, it looks at the state of archives in the provinces as well as local governments. And the idea is, once we have concluded that study, we then would have to be able to take that document to Treasury, to actually share with Treasury the kind of challenges and, of course, the cost implications of solving the problems that are engulfing the entire archival sector. Now, I think that the issue of the AU has been dealt with, the AU flag. The issue that Honorable Mashang raised about maybe we could do better by maybe just supplying schools with their flag poles and bucket of cement and it's one thing that we might have to think about in terms of the logistics of that. Yes, we do concede on certain things that even our model has not worked that better. So it's helpful to think about alternative ways of doing this. I can't agree more with the fact that we should have stated in terms of the libraries as well as the provinces in which they are found. Okay, I think that will correct that. The transfer to municipalities, yes, libraries are concurrent function, but so are the archives. Now what happens is that when you have to ask a local government or municipality to do work, you do that by assigning, so you need to even transfer funds for that municipality to carry out that particular, because it is not their function. For them, it's an unfunded mandate. So some of the provinces have got municipalities that have got capacity to deliver better, and that helps. They do transfer money to municipalities. Now, the question by Honorable Rabu Chapi is a difficult one, which asks, when after the library has been built, how long does it take to function? Under normal circumstances, Honorable Rabu Chapi, the planning should factor in the fact that if you know that your library is going to be completed by, say, for instance, end of October, by that time you should be having your material ready, so that if it's open, you open the library, it's already functional, it has got books, it has got internet facility, it has got computers. So that's how I would want to answer the question, that under normal circumstances, when you say the library is complete, it should have at least the basic issues, books must be there for people to start using it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Follow-up question? Honorable
Just a short follow-up on the flags issue, Chair. We were at Beitbridge, but we didn't see any South African nor African Union flags there. And maybe you should take this up with the Department of International Relations in this regard.
Well, my question was based on the fact that in the Brits area, in a village called Mahuloka, there is a complete library there. It has been standing there for 2 years, and it's not functioning. Hence my question. And when I look at these documents, it doesn't appear anywhere whether it is still under construction or it has been completed. So I'm surprised, actually. That's why I was asking whether some libraries have been built by provinces. And I don't understand the process like you've been explaining after having built that structure. What happens thereafter? Because my concern is if a structure can stand for 2 years, it will be vandalized. Yes.
In Limpopo, there is a library that was built by the municipality. But I think what's important for the department, both the national department, the provincial department, and the local government, to come together and have a discussion around libraries. Because there are libraries that are being built by the provincial government, there are libraries that are built by municipalities. I saw one in Limpopo. And even staffing of those libraries is a problem. So I think there should be a discussion between these two spheres of government on how to deal with this issue. I mean, we are 21 years old now. We can't still be talking about these issues. We should have resolved, I think, these issues a long time ago, but we're still, you know, having problems. So let us have a dialogue between all the spheres of government to ensure that libraries function in a manner that is conducive to what they are supposed to deliver to the people. And I think what also is important for the department to do is the issue of when you give a tender to someone, follow it. You can't just throw money and look the other side. If you are saying go and buy flags, you need to see the delivery of those flags. You need to see the quality of those flags. You can't be shocked when you are told by the portfolio committee that we had made in China. You know, this is what we saw. And this is what we read in the meeting. So if the government can't be told by us, each department, when it gives the tender, it should follow up. And when you even give a person to deliver a service, you should follow up and ensure that they deliver the service that they are required to deliver. And not to wait until someone comes and look at the quality for you. It doesn't have to. You give the tender, you have a contract with that person, you have to follow up on that. You can't wait for other people to give you the feedback. I think it's important for the department to ensure that they follow up on the money that they give to people for services to be rendered. And in the document that we are going to send, because this document really, as I said earlier, you look at all these issues. Like if you are saying number of community conversations or social conversations, 5, where are these conversations? Where were these conversations? Well, we need to look at as a portfolio committee. You can't say 5, and then where are they? Because we need to go there, if need be, to see that there is a difference that was made by conversations that were there. So I think this is very important. Can we then... I'll give you an opportunity to respond to the follow-up, and then the DJ will take the floor.
So, Honorable Chair, the last one, issue on procurement of the powering women. I don't know if we can get
The challenge in the follow-ups were not questions, but they were more comments, more particularly from both Honorable Warden about the fact that when they were in Bedbridge, there was no South African and no A flag, so then we need to maybe just.
If we have to ask, as a department, we are undertaking to do that.
Oh, yes. We are undertaking to that. And of course, I would like also to maybe get the exact name of the library so that we can actually look at that particular library that has been pending for 2 years.
This is the response that we want for you to say that we want more information so that we
go and we look at this library, if it's provincially built or local municipality built, and how we can support whatever is there. So this is the response that we need from you. Thank you.
Thank you.
An important point about Jenny Karitiman about the provincial and the local on the libraries, because it's a perennial problem and therefore the accountability becomes blurred. And so it is something that has been flagged at the main neck to say it is actually sometimes not clear for the even the provinces themselves. So we undertake to then have that engagement, and it might be useful to also would invite the portfolio committee to give their input into that engagement. Because it does also go beyond in terms of the constitution, you know, the concurrent functions and clarity around that, and also the make grant relating to sports infrastructure vis-a-vis arts infrastructure and water infrastructure and electricity infrastructure in the municipalities. So it is a very urgent engagement that will facilitate and then will also invite the portfolio committee. And perhaps on the issues around the disabilities, but also we had a problem issue.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. Just on disability, is that yes, I mean, it's true that most of the people that we have living with disability is below the SMS level. But what I just want to highlight there is the fact that our training budget is that we need to must to spend, you know, 1% of our training budget on like our 1% of compensation budget should be spent on training, and out of that a certain percentage should be spent on people living with disabilities. So that's the option that we have in terms of ensuring that we develop people, so we don't just bring them on board, but also make sure that we develop them so that they're able to move up the ladder, and also, you know, when you go external, that's an opportunity for us. But yes, it is true that the bulk of them, they are at the level below SMS.
Thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. On the issue of procurement, you know that the government has introduced a lot of procurement reforms with the aim of empowering previously disadvantaged people. But in this reform, there are also challenges that we experience from the procurement side, where you find that our new entrants in the business, the black women and people very disadvantaged, have also to have the score on pricing, and also in terms of functionality. So you find that these criteria, where they are applied and in the scoring sheet, is really a challenge for our new entrants, and as a result, they lose out on business, because in most cases, unfortunately, our new entrants into business, their prices are always higher than the other people who have already been in business, and that is a challenge. Although with the new procurement, we are trying a lot to have a lot of women-owned companies on our database, but we still have a challenge on the pricing of commodities things.
But maybe silver lining on the cloud could be that CESA SAS that is being pushed through the triple PFA, that might help to be able to reach that target. But I guess the critical thing taking into account the input from the committee is that we would look in terms of the kind of reports and the detail that needs to accompany the presentations on the various issues, but most importantly, Honorable Mukondo hit it in the nail. Need to make sure the systems are there in order to be able to keep the accountability and ensuring this is what needs to be delivered. And it's a work in progress to be able to introduce the powerful systems. But it doesn't also mean it's only technology. It could be just basic system. So that's a very powerful point that we'll take in terms of being able to say this is the system that enables us to get a full picture, but also help us highlight the problem areas soon enough. And you've been helping as a portfolio committee in bringing to light some of the issues that we would not have through your oversight, but also we may have certain blind spots that you are able to help say be aware of this, be aware of that. And so that's what we would be working towards, making sure we have those simple systems that can be able to give us that full of kids. And hopefully we can see improvement as we continue the interaction in terms of whether they're working or not in terms of the underlying impact that it's generated. Thank you.
I guess we have concluded the matters on this particular subject. We will, Chancellor is part of the meeting, we quickly deal with the foremost global governor, the South African Geographic Ministry Council, DG and Chancellor.
We have the chairperson of the council who will be with the presentation.
Continue with our meeting. We am joined by the chair of the Geographic Main Council, Mr. Tony Musa. Pierre Musa. Yeah, I'm okay. So this is the Portfolio Committee for Agriculture. Time gets caught up with us, so we will have very limited time. For the first, I don't know whether you're the first to speak or the DG or whoever else, whatever protocol you'd like to follow, but we are ready to listen to the presentation.
Thanks, Chair. We'll just go straight into the presentation.
I'm not the chairperson, is here. I'm just sharing for the MN.
No, thanks. No, let me take this opportunity to thank the first chairperson and the portfolio committee. Of course, I recognize other members present here. Let me take you from what you said, considering that we have got time limitations. And I would rather go through the presentation, not necessarily talking to each and everything that is on the slides, because some of the things are things that can be arrived at for much leisure. The issue of naming and renaming is always always an emotive subject. Nonetheless, in our situation in South Africa, and I think it is imperative from the beginning to indicate that we shouldn't be caught up in a situation where we have to find ourselves following processes, more especially if we take into cognizance what has just recently happened with issues of the truth. The work of the committee is actually long overdue. We should be at a stage where now we are talking almost issues of finality. We are done with renaming and we are now busy with saying. Taking you through the presentation, before you will be a table of contents which we are not comparing you with going through it, but going straight to the presentation. The South African Geographical Names Council is a committee that was established in terms of the Act of Parliament Act 118 of 1998. It is presently constituted as follows. The incumbent here being the chairperson, the deputy being Ms. Jane Fumadi, and then Dr. Mayer, Ms. Gita, Ms. Tanji, Mawela, Dr. Mm-hmm. Ms. Chamzazi, Scholar of Fund of Melbourne, McPherson, who is the chairperson of Eastern Cape, Harvey Lee from Mpumalanga, Malu Dete from Gauteng, and Mr. South Carolina from Eastern Cape. We are part of the United Nations group of experts on naming Ntele. And as the resolution of the United Nations, each country has got its own sovereign prerogative in the standardization of soccer matches. Before 1994, there existed a committee which was called National President's Committee. And a working forum of geographic names was established after 1994. Through the white paper, and it was through the work of that forum that this committee was established. Its job is actually to name geographical features in the process of the whole agenda of the transformation of the heritage landscape and to force national identity and nation building. And this was part of a decision by the Truth of Truth and Reconciliation Commission. That as part of the symbolic repatriation, we need to restore the dignity of the people of South Africa by ensuring that we get rid of offensive, vulgar, and other names that are undesirable. This committee then, therefore, is composed of representatives from each province and members that are directly nominated or appointed by the minister. And I am then joined by the host office of Surveyor General and then Kensa. The mandate of the committee is to set guidelines for provincial geographical names committees and assist in establishing those committees. Today I can show you that all nine provinces have provincial geographical names committees. And of course, at the center is the issue of standardization. And to promote usage of the names that have been standardized. And to promote awareness of the economic and social benefits of the standardization of geographical names. I'm going to come back to this later. This is done by receiving applications from members of the community, which are then done through local authorities, municipalities, and these applications are then sent to the province. And once they've been dealt with by the provincial geographical names committee, they are then sent to us. And upon us having gone through and looked at the requirement compliance, we then forward the names to the minister for approval. The minister has got the right to approve or reject any application that we have processed. Once you've done that, then you will then put the names on the government gazette. And, from then, it's then that the name can be used. And as a council, we are not responsible for naming of the country, provinces, or local authorities. That falls outside our jurisdiction. We are responsible for, among others, human settlements, mountains, rivers, ends, bridges, and so forth. The other category that falls outside our jurisdiction is state names, public places, municipal buildings, squares, parks, and cemeteries. Those are part of the fall under municipalities. And we do not deal with privately owned buildings or farms. But it is very interesting that in our last meeting, we actually got an application from a farmer in the district wanted the name of his farm, Kafar Star, to be changed. And even though it is not all under the jurisdiction, we actually commended that move. It was something very positive, something that needed to be commended. We are responsible for policy guidance and standardization of the government. Sorry. Before you members, honorable members, it's a systematic representation of the job of the culture thus far. You will see that we have categorized the number of changes that have done in terms of language and in terms of province. So in short, the interpretation thereof is that we have already done 11,061 names, and the most names have been in Limpopo, followed by Mpumalanga and KZN. And in terms of language, the most names have been in Sizulu, followed by Sepedi, and then the rest of them. I'm going to skip the next two slides because it's just a linear representation of the slides that I just referred to. I come to the issue that most of the work has been what you call low-hanging fruit. The correction of spelling, correction of orthography, of character names. For instance, if you have a situation where you have a name written as a course, I want to use a course, and then the first name, Bizana and Bizana. The next point there, just two corrections there. The spelling of Nelstrom is not correct. NYL and Modum is fine. The next citation is not properly. LS Rath is the parliament, and then Kofan will be for Fika's rise. And Ladybird, of course, is the spelling of students. Other than that, we have been busy in the presidential press house. The key house is to John, Dr. John Langalibale Ledube, in KZN. Then we've got the presidential press house in Zwane, so far from Mahatu. And then the diplomatic airport to Jumina Katina. And of course the airports, Johannesburg International Airport to Oatambo, Lamesi Airport to Kinshasa International, and then Bloemfontein International to Artificial. As a council, we are responsible for capacity building of the provinces, and we've been doing serious outreach programs and awareness campaigns. In the main, we focus on the promotion of administrative justice so that people know what they are, and then we promote the handful geographical needs. Challenges have been that change is the only thing that remains constant, but as people over this change, they find it prudent to challenge us in court and things are well documented. Fortunately, we win some of the sum. We have won the Melbourne to Mobile Nations, and we are still awaiting a final decision on the very hard to mark group. And the only issue that always remains whether Pretoria should be Swanee, or Swanee should be the geographical area that actually takes into consideration the boundaries of the municipality. And this is work in progress. And I think we'll arrive at the determination at some stage. Of importance is that there seems all not to be any clarity on what actually is the meaning of consultation. The word that exists in the Constitution and in other pieces of legislation, but as to what exactly that this would mean, it seems to be a center of all our problems. The other issue is that the act as it stands now creates a loophole for other provinces because they see the job of geographical naming as a non-funded the committee then, their committee then pick up problems in terms of support from the provinces. Members, I thought I ran out of speed, and then that would be the end of the presentation. Taking into consideration time limitations, take questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the presentation. And as the committee, we feel that this is very important. This is a very important matter. That is why we have invited you. I will now take questions and comments from members. Honorable Kosovo.
Chair, thank you. Sorry that I had to run before the work. Before he takes out, I'm just for the questions.
The first question, I'd like to find out to what extent has the this department been involved in guiding or directing the change name of a province to that of a person. I'm referring to Northwest specifically, which is totally contra the spirit of our country and that of name change. And the second one is, I hate the whole act around name change, and but I can't call the specific one with reference to the fact that there should not be two names or the same. If I now say I call this building Macondo Square, and now I call the other building also Macondo Square because I happen to like him and he's a member of the executive, can that be done within the same local municipality or area or same town for that matter?
Thank you very much, Honorable Miller. I'll call upon Honorable Masango, and I see Honorable Makondo would like to name a street after Honorable Makondo.
The question raised by the doctor there is inappropriate. I think the main question is, we have names that are fitted. Quite a lot of them repeated everywhere in the country. Some of them repeated in the country itself. For instance, if you take a town like Millbank in eastern, in Mpumalanga, as well as the other Millbank somewhere in Eastern Cape. When you put it in your GPS and say Millbank, it may take you to the wrong place, especially if you are not a local and you will have to dispute it from that start, because we have become a Tumal community. I mean, some of the place names and street names that we use are in Europe, including the town names. If you put it in your GPS, it takes you to Europe, and you struggle to get yours, and this is an area that the entity should prevail, because surely it doesn't help us as South Africa to have all these European towns and places in South Africa, especially in view of this global environment that we find in. And I think your entity therefore becomes very important to guide, or I don't know whether to guide or whatever, to municipalities, because I don't think we are having our course now. I think something that is very crucial, which we would like to get from you as to what you do with this kind of processes, and how you are helping other provinces to improve. You did say, number one, provinces will go for it, kind of more. There is quite a significant changes in Limpopo. When you drive in Limpopo, you can actually feel that you are in South Africa. Mpumalanga followed and didn't do quite well, and so on. The rest of other provinces, we are what we were. Yeah, Free State is the worst, if I'm not wrong. Both of them, they are neighbors. Yeah, but yeah, what role? Because I don't think the national, and you as a national body, to just hold your head and say, we will wait until they come. It's outside of our mandate. We'll be litigated, and we will have knowledge to stand on. I think at some point, you have a responsibility to guide. Otherwise, you can't just sit and wait. So one another, it's a crucial mandate. And it speaks. And I believe you, when you did your introduction, you said you belong to the globe, and doing that was important. So let me know, what does the globe say about this repetitive thing? And I know that they have a position. So we need to communicate that to our country. I would have wanted to hear you, but you included here with what else UNESCO, what else this UN body says about this repetitive thing.
Thank you, Honourable Member. And when I have a problem, whenever I introduce myself, to say, I'm going to start from East London. And then, how's London? And I'm like, in South Africa. You know? So I think these are the issues that you need to look at. Honourable Mohamed.
Thanks, Chair.
we want to welcome the presence of the South African Geographical Name Change. I think we've been waiting for this opportunity to interact with them. The last time we had a discussion with the minister, it was with around a lake progress that relates to transformation with regard to names in South Africa, including the issues. I know that the issues don't belong to you. But Chair, indeed, there is a problem in the country. You have got names after 21 years of democracy that has left the apartheid colonial system. And there is this institution which I think is limited to receiving applications. That's why I have a problem with it. If you don't receive application, then what? Would men with this name have the problem? So I want to ask the audience, because most of these names, you find them in municipalities, and you will have to receive this application from this municipality to say what to change this name to Swartboom, for example. But you see, the hype, there was a hype between, I think it was between 1990 and 2003, 2004. But it's not there. And you are there sitting in the office waiting for this application. What? Don't you have any plans to engage with these municipalities? Talk to them with regard to responsibility as an organization. Because sitting in Pretoria, I mean, we're not there. What programs do you have? I mean, what show? You interact with people. Because it's not like people don't want their names to change. But others are not even familiar with the processes that follow towards the changing of the names. What plans do they have to make sure that you talk to, you have a roadshow, talk to people about your responsibilities and how do you deal with these processes of knowledge? So that if you see whether you don't receive these applications or not. But there's a perception out there that applications can only be received from municipalities. Then what becomes the roles of committees? So I want you to talk to us with information for that. I may not necessarily have a problem. Mpumalanga is coming, of course, I'm coming from Limpopo, Limpopo is clean. We're only left in dealing with certain states in the city, in Lugwam. But I just hope that we'll follow others far. They've changed street there. Nami Hib. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Melda and Honorable Suleti, Honorable Tilangun.
Thank you, Chairman. I listened to the arguments and I'm quite in favor that we have a good group, Sangra Zita, and that's really South African. But my argument is that surely, and we all know that it's very sensitive, it's very political, sometimes it's very emotional, the way we do this. And I think the big challenge is how do we accommodate everybody and that people don't feel that they're not part of it being South African. Let's take example. From Afghan's perception, the perception is that Afghan's name has been targeted to Algi, because he himself been here for 400 years and a lot of Algi's still being named. Nelson, for example, you know where the name comes from. When the Footlackers got there, they for the first time saw a river going directly north. And they didn't know how is it possible all the other rivers go east and west. So they thought, because they were not that clever, they must be the beginning of the Nile. And so the name did Nile Sturm. Now that's interesting history, and now it's changed. But my problem is, for example, my definition of a colonialist is someone that maybe came here and then left again, being buried somewhere else. Similarly, he's an English lord somewhere out there and came here and made it a trouble and went away. De Urban was a governor at the Academy of them. De Urban, yes, of course, Benjamin De Urban. And those guys are all gone, but they are still being named here, and that's where the honorable member is correct, that's got some European names. But then also, we've got the names of my forefathers that played a role, we get it, etc. And I think that's the best, how do we balance these two, and let everybody feel at home at the end of the day, and I'm not a foreigner in that sense, and I think that's why all the fights and debates and court cases come from. Now, just one question. On land reform, we've got a cut-off date, for example, because you can't continue forever. Now, we're busy for 22 years with land change. Doesn't the department think that sometimes you really need to have a cut-off date? Because if you continue forever, and you just think about the people making maps, yearly it must be changed again. The GPS sometimes works wrong because names changed. And in that sense, I think we must think that some guys at this date will have to stop with this to continue all the time because it's impossible. And let me just the last thing on accommodation. I was in my town, Potchefstroom. I was a member of the city council there, and we had a policy there that we only named people that played a part in the history of the town. And I thought that's good. So we had never Wood Street or Malang Street or any of those. The names, they were people that played a role. But then she took over, they changed that. It's the prerogative, they won the victory. But then they changed the names only to ANC leaders. So I had a delegation of the PAC that said, what are you doing now? The moment we take over, we're going to change all these names again to PAC leaders. And I made a joke today in Parliament, may remember, and say, well, the moment the EAF takes over, we'll have to get all the change again. And that's your risk if you only do the one side. If you accommodate everybody from the beginning and go to Kenya and other countries and learn from them, then in the end, everybody's satisfied. But if you got this, winner takes all memory, then after 20 years, development, winner takes all your circle forever, and I hope you can avoid that sort of thing. Learn this from Africa that somebody did this. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Suleri.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I want to agree with what Honourable Makondo was raising on the issues of the name, but also to say it's worrying that in 21 years of democracy we only have 1,100 names that needs to, that have already been changed. And when you look in our history, especially let me talk about the Free State. In the Free State, the only town that got our native names, those were the towns that used to belong to the Bantustan, Yogwagwa, Bukwagwa, Yogutabelo, and Tabanjo. The rest of the towns, all of them, to name them, Yovepenas, they are still having the names of the colonialists. Why? Let me say settler. Maybe settler would be the right way to say that. Let me say settler. All of the Free State towns, they bear the names of the settlers. Because in my understanding, Chairperson, if you are not born in Africa, actually, if you are not an African, it's either you are a Euro-African, Africans are Africans. Then, when I came from Europe and then you decided to stay here for 20 or 100 years, the second name that you come from Europe, you are a descendant of a Euro, you cannot be an African, you are an Euro-African. So, it's a very worrying that issue. That why the pace that they are taking. Again, coming to the issue of the campaigns, the awareness campaigns that they are supposed to be having, a lot of our people do not really necessarily know. For example, you go to the informal settlement, the new ones, just after democracy, the names that are there, that we are not even proud of those names, some of them. Most of the Serbia, if you say, denying, you name them. Dinaweng is called Dinaweng because that area is used to be an area where the prostitutes were selling. Now in Sesotho you understand when you how to arena, all those, because our people, they do not necessarily know and understand the issue of the importance of names. So why the campaigns are they doing in our localities? Because to be honest, really, I would say municipalities are not really doing anything. You get into Mangaung, it's only in 2012 when we are about to celebrate the 100 years of the ANC, where you saw now you had your parents, how wounded the names being changed. It was Nelson Mandela only. The rest of the names were not changed. They were only changed around that time. Even the same thing of airports was only changed around through because there was going to be an activity of the ANC in that area. We cannot be apologetic in terms of changing names. It doesn't matter. We have Andrews Pretoria everywhere. We can have Nelson Mandela all over the country because each and every town, in a small town like Veteran or Tivesto, you will find Andrews Pretoria. We don't even know who Andrews Pretoria is for the name. So we cannot be apologetic in terms of change. If we have to call them Nelson Mandela, all of them, let's call them Nelson Mandela because that's what we have seen. That is what we have seen during apartheid. Your text is everywhere. If it's not here, she'll find it in camp. But I equal it now. I belong or whatever. It doesn't language to me. So, really, this is close to our hearts. We have won this revolution. A lot of our people, they've lost their blood in this revolution. Why should we be apologetic when we have to change names? Why should we? Because it seems that people do not even understand the concept towards that. Even in provinces. Those councils, if you call them in the provinces, chapter 3, most of them don't even have information. They don't even hold the meetings. I remember in the city they were even saying the budget that they had. In one financial year, I think they had 100,000. What are you expecting them to do with such a little budget? Because they need a budget for them to make public hearings so that people can make contributions if their name has to be changed. But because of the budget, then we really have a problem with that. And also, Chairperson, I think we said in the names that have any derogator. Like, listen, I just called my hair a gafarab. We don't need to change that. That's another name that we need to change. How do you call it? That is only license.
Thank you very much, Honorable Linda. Honorable Rabka.
Thank you very much. As much as I agree with everybody, but we must also not forget the chief vehicles of South Africa.
Yes.
We must not forget that Mangali is the cultures of this country, because you cannot name the heroes only after ANC people, because a lot of people took part in the struggle of this country, and we must cast our net wider. We mustn't look one side only. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. You know, when people talk about the ANC, we need to then we are members of the ANC and vote the majority. Chairperson, you know, everything that we do, there's a consultation process. It won't start just with jump and maybe Gauteng that maybe wanted. Gauteng to call Gauteng, it was not Gauteng just one, we know the strong Gauteng, Johannesburg, no, Johannesburg was Gauteng. Yes, Johannesburg was Gauteng because of the rise and the economic power. We never stood up and just saying that ANC we wanted, but there was a process, there was a consultation process, and we know, committee members, how this process works. The public hearing, where people come and present their cases. Nobody was forced or nobody anything was given to somebody to say, now because we're in power, going to do this. No, there are public hearings. There are governance structures that go to do these things. So let us, now we are sitting here, we say that the ANC has a bulldozing. What a bulldozing? It's a number. When you go to public hearings, we go to numbers because you want a change, want a transformation. And when the transformation is, people need to applaud it. What is wrong? I could not even know how to write that name. But now somebody is talking. And before the names are not put in town, there were none of African names in that town. Why now? Because of the change. There's a change because people of Togo went to the public hearings and presented their case. They didn't say at the end of the day because the immajority wanted to take. No. There are processes, there are governments, there are legislations. That's all of this thing. Take the issue of time. As you said, it's a little bit sophisticated because people go there and present their cases. So it's a fair process. But let the transformation go forward, Chair. Thank you. The ANC must come and present itself.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. But I would like to say, when we were in Limpopo, there was a young man who's working with the artists in schools in that program. And in this meeting, he said that, you know, if people, they are battling to have a buy-in from the provincial people, and if people don't come in, then they are going to continue to do what they're supposed to do. And, you know, I call that young man to order to say, you don't come here and say you want buy-in. You need to consult the people from the onset, so that there is no buy-in. But in the case of your geographical name, council, it's important. Buy-in is very important. Unlike this, the issue of the young man with the artists in school. In this case, it's very, buy-in is very important. And there are structures provincially. There is a provincial geographical names council. There is a district geographical names council. There is a local. There are structures that are there. But I think what's important is for those structures to have a buy-in, especially the provincial one. Because the provincial can then in turn go to the district and to the local sphere of government. I think it's important because the national structure, it would be very difficult for the national structure to, but as you were saying, it should strengthen. But strengthening goes with budget as well to make the provincial government understand that there should be money put aside for this. Because as you, the honorable members were rightfully saying, there is a process that is followed. And that process has to be meticulous. You have to have record-keeping people that are going to give the true record of what happens in a meeting. So this is what where the problem lies, that the provincial departments don't have enough resources to give to this provincial structure. As a result, they have to rely on the department and ask and plead. Meanwhile, they have a lot of work to do, which also means that they have to form the DGNCs and the local structures. So I think it's something that we need to see how we can assist and how we can influence the provincial structures, because that's where the problem is. Because all the departments of agriculture and sports, whatever you call it, all provincial departments have minimal budget, and they cannot, they feel that they cannot give, you know, if they give 100,000, they think that it's a lot. Meanwhile, it's nothing when you're looking at the work that has to be done. But I think I'm giving you an opportunity to respond. I thought I should just give that information, that there are structures down there, and raising awareness is strengthening the provincial structure should be the what your role, and then the provincial structure in turn would form the district and local structures and strengthen them. Your role would be to strengthen the provincial sphere. Thank you very much.
Okay, so let me welcome the questions and the engagement. And I must say, because I'm very related, you know, the portrait that comes out of any work is dependent on the canvas on which it is developed. And I think the canvas we have here, it's a very clean canvas, and I have hope in the portrait that will come out. Just to respond to some of the questions. Yes, as part of Mujeke, we avoid duplication. I'll give you an example. Kruostad. There was an application to take Kruostad to Mauteni. We couldn't approve that application because Mauteni exists in Japan. For Japan, yes. Not in Mauteni, I can decide which is the difference. And then the next application is like Mukaka. We could not approve it too, because it was not a change of name, it was a translation of a name. Kuro Mutaka in Soto. So we don't deal with translations, we deal with change of names. Primarily because the history behind the name Gospat. It's a very offensive history if you know the history. Kuro was the name of a horse, which was injured, and the owner, it is said, prayed his god to allow him to kill one soon the next day and then build the church for him. And that's how God came into being. Now, so that's the first point. The second point is the point of repetition. We avoid repetition. And if this is where you've got the two measurements, we hope and trust that one measurement will then apply for change of name, and then we'll get rid of it by attrition.
Hope is not a
threat. Remember, we are not originators. We are not originators of change. I wish we were. For instance, I know there are 411 names that have been written in county. But until such time that those names are accepted by the federal, the remaining names, just for interest's sake, I'm only about 2 years, I mean 2 weeks. Yes, I'm not necessarily an expert on the subject, but however, I've been the chairperson of Council for 2 years, so there's something that I know about the job. So, yes, most of the names that we have of the areas, of informal areas, are not registered names. That's the first problem. Also, been breakers, repeated the Yakashima, Donosa, Manawa, Alwan, and Tindo, Nakano. And because of the naming, they bring with them that emotion of people who are telling us of water. I mean, how is not thinking properly if you are from a place called Mishazar? So, we need to get rid of those names. Eastern Cape. Names such as you would stand and for photos and so on. Yes, the Berlin, yes. I know they've been dealt with, but we cannot bring them here. So these are names that have been so of course have not been accepted as yet. Just recently we did an application equivalent to Hokawan, Harry Smith, to Intermez. I think about 46 names from the state, but they are not part of the 1,100. Yes. As legislators, I think we are coming to you to give a report, but it's incumbent on legislators to see that these changes that we want are in fact in legislation, because we are not in a position to have something of our own initiative and ignore what the law says. So if there is some impediment in the law, I think it's important that law is amended so that it can enable us to be able to do some of the things that needs to be. Cattles, we can't have cattles because we are not only doing renaming, we are doing even naming, and there's development every time and new names come every time. So thinking of cattles is just out of the question. There's no way that we can do that. I'll tell you, developers have got a very fine way of dealing with this. We want to seek an application for a certain name, and when we said no, you can't use that name. You know, the applicant kind of came back and said, or at the place will be called N17. Because it's next to the N17 freeway. I mean, you could see that it was sheer arrogance is the life. You know, Yes, I've had this horrible story, and in my work I've never seen it happening. We did not name after members of one political party. I can tell you that. We name after a spectrum of members of different political parties. We don't even name one language, just as the slide that I showed you indicate. It is so that we still name towns in Afrikaans. We do send applications in Afrikaans, but not yes. So I'm saying let us encourage the trees from the forest. If we deal with the forest, let's deal with the forest. If we deal with the trees, let's deal with the trees. And we don't come into our work driven by our own political persuasions. We are driven by an act of government. We have done a lot of awareness campaigns, yes, of course. They are not at the level that we want them to be. And I think the members have actually been threatened and problem directly. In the issue of budget, I can tell you, the problem such as how to budget only 300,000 for the committee work, and that's enough to pay an honorarium for the members to attend. And the excess can attend, you can call the meetings the alarm. And then you come to it and say, they strictly attend only 3 meetings in a year, and tell me if there will be any consolidation out of the meetings in a year. Don't be happy. Local authorities. I think we must use one act to empower the other. I always say that if we want to deal with this issue in the proper perspective at local authorities, we must use Section 79 committees. So that then it becomes easy to have the issue of local geographical naming budget as well in the IDP of the local authority, as opposed to using this as an alone committee, which people might end up saying don't have the necessary mandate to fund such a function. The other comment, or rather not that issue that I understand the political severity of those comments, it's not in my space to engage in political debates. And with that, I will ask the DG, Mr. Kosimir, to say a few things.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Chairperson of the South African Geographical Names Council. I think that he actually has covered all the aspects of the question. I just thought that maybe my intervention will only be on the area of the question that was raised by Honorable Makondo, where the question was, we're just receiving, and if you're not receiving, so what? And I would say that partly Mr. Mushala has actually responded to that, because we realized that there was going to be a problem if the council is only just receiving. Hence, every year, we have made it a point that there are awareness consultative conferences. And I must say that this year, Chairperson, we have even been favored, I mean, I'm sorry for the use of the word, we have been favored by the Rhodes and Scroll campaign, because it's intertwined with the name changes. So we have had provincial consultative processes. In fact, we have got the last one on Thursday in the Eastern Cape. It's not just dealing with the status, but we are also dealing with the name changes. We have presentations, we have discussions with local communities where we share with them how they should go about doing name changes. Also, key to this is the issue of conversation, because it should be told what has actually made this process slow. It's when at times we have not followed consultation to the Mazuma, because it gets challenged and then it stops the process, it stalls the process. So that's what we are just doing through all these consultative meetings that are happening. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is a very sensitive matter. And I think as the portfolio committee, as I said, during the Roads Must Fall campaign, that as the portfolio committee, we are not afraid of discussing those difficult issues, those complex issues. And we discuss them, but at the end of the day, we are a multi-party portfolio committee. So we are not afraid of discussing those issues. We discuss them, but we come out on the other side as a portfolio committee. We do take decisions. But we would like to encourage you to strengthen this relationship with the provincial structures so that they can in turn strengthen their relationship with the district structures and the local structures. Because as you may hear from the honorable members, that the issues have to be discussed at local level. And people need to be aware that they are the ones who have to discuss these issues and come to the fore with the changes that they desire. So we want to encourage you to say that the work that you are doing is very sensitive and it needs a people who can work together, in their diversity, be unified. So I think it's important for us as the committee, as you as the council, work like us as the committee, where we are united in our diversity, as you may have heard from the discussions of the committee. So we want to encourage you, but the most important thing is to empower the people so that they are able to seek the change that they want. Thank you. If there are no other comments.
I was saying earlier on the UNESCO has a position. United Nations, I think it's UNESCO. Yeah, which it would name issues. UNCLOS. Yeah, that is. That funny name. That name was changed. So, Chair, what I could not understand is where we are repeating names that I use somewhere. I think the example of the Free States was fairly Japanese. Look at the film there. That was on a lighter note. Where we have names that are repetitive, Amsterdam. Amsterdam in Kumala. We know the Amsterdam in
Holland.
Sorry, one would assume that the National Geographic Names Commission would then advise Kumala and Amsterdam municipality to say, your name is actually used in Holland, so and that's the main one. You can therefore not you have an Amsterdam in South Africa. Or in your space. So there's an ML in that way. I would thought that because if we don't do it, although we're not breaking any law, but we're actually contravening the guide of UNCLOS, whatever that is. Or political entity, but that entity, in a way, I think that's the main thing that I thought we would do. And the last chair, there was a comment, but if the chair were to tell us these other unknown names that they are talking about here. Just an example of this. You said there about other unknown names. What does it mean? Who? What's an example of the unknown one?
let me just indicate. Remember here, we capture names in terms of their language. So DNA, which does not fall into any language, and it falls in that category. Like, for instance, Machaeta. It's a combination of two Rakhanda. A good example would be Rakhanda in Heidelberg. Which is Rata and Tanda brought together to be Rakhanda. So it's not any particular language. Soweto. Yes. So it's not the English, Majeka is from Maje, which is stones. Ka is from the name of the owner of that farm. So his name is Karl, Now, the farm is called Kapros Kral. He doesn't like the name Kapros Kral. He says, no, the kral was built in those Jemazwe, among Agare. So the name of the place is Mazwe. Yes.
Okay, thanks. Honorable
Manager,
do you want to say something so that we step off the subject?
Yes, I'll say something and I'll be very calm. I think that from the debate we saw, easily the emotion's gone up. I'm sorry that other member left now at the moment we start talking about these things. I think all I ask, and what I do ask, and that is as an elder member of parliament, and I'll be retiring one day, I ask wisdom in this issue because of the emotion. And I ask wisdom, and I think the chairperson said that, for a buy-in. And why do I say that? And you can really go to Africa, and I did my study of some of those African countries that didn't learn the lesson. And they had this revolution and quickly had lot of name changes. And because they didn't vote everybody in, in 20 years' time you start over again and you do the same with a new government in Kenya or in Nubu, whatever the fact of ever happened. So if we buy in and we sort of get the recipe that accommodate everybody, that's a long-term solution. That will give wisdom in a sense, surely. When we talk about offending names and the other women left, surely, and there will be no problem for anybody that if you change offending names. I think that is unanimous all over. If I may just add one thing, when I said about those street names, I said my argument, I said PhE used the argument, say there's no Sobukwe, no Sobukwe import, why not? And that is the sort of example that they gave me. And then they said, once we get in power, we'll change all the names back to PhE names. Now that's, I think, is the wrongest way. Exactly the opposite that I said we must not do. And then surely while the members back, I think the chairman is right, that we'd like to have debate on these issues. I think we'll have to have debate on the definition of Africa. Because what I hear here, I don't agree with. This is a racial definition of African. I'm an African. I'm not European. And I think one day we'll have to have that a calm debate on what is the definition of an African, because I think that's also what to understand the relations of Africa. Thank you.
Yes, the creative debate of the committee. We will have the discussions of the committee. Thank you very much. Can we now step off the subject? But we thank you very much, and we hope that when we meet you next time, you will be telling us how far you've gone with the support that you give and the training that you give to provincial structure. And they should brief you on what is happening at the district and local level. Thank you very much. We are now, honorable members, going to just briefly, Fiji, on the matter with SARA, Without Age, South African Road Youth Association, because tomorrow I'm attending a meeting and in Johannesburg, where I'll be discussing the matter of SARA. It's a matter that has come before the committee, and the chairman, who is the CEO of SARA, has taken the matter to the public protector, and he also took the matter to the Speaker's office. That's why I am being roped in, because it was taken to Parliament as well. But we are, this matter is being solved, and they want to be part of that meeting. Over to you, DG Brickman.
Okay, thank you, Jen. The history of SARA dates back prior to 2014, before the agreement was reached, whereby SARA alleged that the department had made promises and did not deliver on them, and then they went to the public protector. And then they had an adjudication of the public protector and had a settlement agreement. And the main points of the agreement were as follows, that SARA would submit its request for funding of this project to the DAC, and the DAC shall consider such request based on the department policy. So there was no obligation to fund their projects. They would have to follow a normal process. But also, that once the project has been agreed to follow the normal process, the MOA would be signed. And then secondly, the major point was the upgrading of SARA House, whereby the DAC would assist in assessing funding opportunities in the public and private sector. So there was no obligation of the DAC to say you should fund this, but it's to say we shall facilitate funding in terms of the upgrading of the SARA House. And then lastly, that would maintain cordial working relationship. So what has happened to date is that SARA submitted then a proposal to a three-year funding operations for their international relation program over 3 years, and approved about 2.8 million, which was over 3 years. The first year was successfully completed, and this is happening in three tranches. This 2.8 is taking place over three tranches. And for this year, the second year, the first tranche has been made. So the first point is now in operation. We did approve the project. And also, with regards to the second contentious point on the agreement was the Sara House. That's where we got the IDT to do an assessment of the building, and they found that the building was in such a dilapidated condition and had reached its end of its useful life, and it was therefore not prudent to invest government resources in renovating the structure. So, to this effect, we said, Ben Sara, we had a meeting with them, and we said we'll commit to ring fence $10 million for this is the portion that we could afford as a department towards the building renovations. Even though we got the IDT that says I think it's about $40 million to try to resuscitate Sara House to be in optimal condition, which we do not have, and where we then be able to say we'll reinvest $10 million towards renovations. And we then committed that we'll have further engagements with them to say let's understand them, given this is how much we have, what are the kind of facilitation you would require us to help you to raise further funding or be able to say if you want to move to a different place, those are the options. So that's where we are with Sara, in that we haven't been able to then meet with them saying, given this is the challenge that we have bring things, what are the plans that we need to then take forward that we can be able to assist you, and also please identify other funders that you can be able to then facilitate engagement towards the infrastructure innovations. And to the last point, we made sure that we avail ourselves to engage with them. But it's not been easy engaging with Sara, because they've been able to say they want more than what we can be able to do. In the fact, for example, on the 10 million, they would want us to be able to go do all the work in terms of now going back and looking at the feasibility and being able to engage with more people in terms of service providers, in terms of being able to work on the integrities. And that has been a problematic point. And then also, we've dedicated people within the department to be able to work with them. But it's not been very easy because of, in every single meeting I've had with them, it's turned out to be very emotionally charged in meetings whereby they are using the department in the past of this is what we've done, But in terms of being able to get a credible and a productive way forward, it's not been always forthcoming. And which is why now it's come to the point of saying, because in all our engagements, we haven't been able to reach a conclusion with them, despite the fact that we've said this is what we can be able to do. They've been escalated to the Speaker's office, and also we're going back to the Public Protector to say this is what we've done to date. What they're also complaining about is that the operational costs, to saying that we need to be able to cover operational costs. And that's not necessarily in the agreement. And we said, if we want to be covering, if we want the GAC to cover operational costs, you need to be declared as a cultural institution, and therefore there will be a mechanism that would be followed. And so they are arguing that, no, we fund other people's operational costs and use examples. But we've been firm saying, if you want us to cover operational costs, there is a process. We've even gone to come up with other proposals which we've supported during Africa Month in terms of having a live event and technical and production conference, which we supported them with 800,000. So we've been trying to say, let's work together, because what they are doing is actually really, really important, because you're looking at the backstage and the technical elements of all productions, and that's quite important. And also what we've done is that we've taken their interns to work on the large-scale projects such as Moshito and our National Days project, so that they can get practical experience. So all our events, we would have Sara interns, because we recognize the importance of their work. So the points that they will probably raise tomorrow will be around the building and around the operational costs, because those are the two thorniest issues that they are grappling with.
Thank you very much, Ziggy. Are there any questions?
because I think mine in the meeting tomorrow is to give an ear, because there are no decisions that we can take at the portfolio committee. Just to listen to what is being said, and I will give a report back to the portfolio committee in that other Tuesday meeting. Are there any questions from the portfolio committee members on Sarah without age?
Sir, I want to speak about this entity. I've got issues. No, it's not Sarah anymore. But why is Sarah refusing to become a person? It's a denial person. They see themselves in the space of the state. If that's the case, then I think it's crucial that and if they ask the public protector, they go to the speak, surely they must be willing to come into a public space. And here is one letter there that I can advise you to do. You don't tell Sarah, we have a solution for you. Simple. Section 137, whatever that thing of the public entity thing, what is it? The establishment of your public, your... Exactly. Yeah. That's the only space where we could adequately criticize the department for failing to render its services to Sarah. If they are a cultural issue, why are they refusing? They want money, but they don't want to come into that space for out of order.
Thank you very much, honorable member. I think you've given me something that I will be at the meeting tomorrow. But as I said earlier, I will report back on Tuesday meeting. I would like to thank honorable members for availing yourselves for this meeting and the manner in which we discussed the issues that were raised. And I hope the department is learning from the questions that we asked. So we don't ask questions just for the sake of asking. We would like you to really improve, because in a way we are related. When things are not good in the department, that affects us as a portfolio committee as well. So we would like you to improve. As we said earlier, we are here not only to oversee, but to also support you as much as we can, because we believe it's not about us, it's about the people that we are serving as well. The management of the committee, I would like to thank you. Without your assistance, really, we wouldn't do as much as we can. Thank you very much, honorable members, officials, and management. Enjoy your lunch.
Thank you.